Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. The new economic numbers are in, and it's apocalyptic. But you knew that because you felt it yourself when you went to the gas station and it cost you like $100 to fill up your gas tank. But yeah, the inflation numbers are in. It's funny because this story is coming out on a Friday. They are terrified. They're absolutely terrified of people seeing this. 8.6%, the highest in 40 years. And many other specific elements of the consumer market are actually Inflation is higher than it's been in 40 years, but some things are actually well beyond that. Going to like World War II, the prices have never been this high. The increases have never been this high. So it is brutally bad. And CNBC ran a survey of top chief financial officers who said there's going to be a recession at the beginning of next year, and it's going to get really, really bad, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. The funny thing is, like, they're telling us that we're still in a growth period, but I don't think anybody believes it because inflation is growing faster than anything else. There was this chart posted by someone on Twitter. It's really interesting. It shows Trump's years, and it's like everything's pretty good. And then right after Biden gets elected, it's just wages collapse and inflation skyrockets. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. The other thing we're going to talk about, they've got this thing called the, have you guys heard about this? January 6th?
What?
This thing that happened?
Is that significant for some reason?
They're doing some kind of hearing on January 6th. It's weird. Anyway, we're going to be talking about May 29th. The insurrection on May 29th.
Oh, yeah.
When far left extremists tried burning down the White House and forced the president into a bunker. So we're going to have our hearing.
Good,
and
yeah.
Release our findings
on
May 29th. Joining us to talk about all this, we have Mr. Andy Ngo.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, thanks for coming. Who are you, for those who don't know?
I am an independent journalist, and I'm also a editor-at-large for the Post-Millennial.
Right on.
And author of the New York Times bestseller, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy.
Well, then, you're the perfect person here for us to discuss the May 29th insurrection.
That's right.
So thanks
indeed.
For coming. We also have Libby. She's back.
I'm here.
Who are you, Libby?
I am Libby Emmons. I am the editor-in-chief at the Post-Millennial. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be back. Glad to hang out with Andy. All you fine fellows.
Well, all right then.
Hey, guys. I decided to fill up my tank today. I drive a diesel Dodge Ram truck that I call Big Balls Becky. And the truck, it was like a quarter full. I spent $148.32.
Yeah.
I will never financially recover from this unless you go to lukeuncensored.com and sign up on my members area, where you get exclusive masterclasses, exclusive merchandise, a forum, and videos almost every single day, including an on-the-ground report from one of our reporters, Josh Friedman, from Ukraine. Check that out, lukeuncensored.com. Thanks for having me.
Hey, buddy. Ian Crossland here. I am your best friend. And your worst nightmare.
Oh,
get
my.
Ready for this. I was on Pop Culture Crisis earlier today. It was awesome with Brett and Mary. And that's a youtube.com. Of course, you search Pop Culture Crisis and you're going to find it. It was hot.
Mm-hmm. Pop Culture Crisis, always a great time. I'm over there on Wednesdays as well. I also filled up today. I sent Tim a picture of the price of gas and he was like, holy cow. And I was like, it's insane, dude. And I wasn't even buying diesel. I was just filling up my own passenger car. So it sucks. It's hard to miss. I'm interested how the Democrats are going to pull this one off.
Oh, they're doomed. I had to fill up today. Yeah, I pulled my Tesla into the garage and plugged it in. I don't know what you guys are talking about, this gas stuff. I mean, I just drive an electric car, so I don't care.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You sound like,
why don't you guys just buy electric cars? Name?
You sound like the CEO of General Motors, who recently was showing off an electric car that they had, and she was asked by a reporter where the
electricity comes from to charge the electric vehicle.
Yeah, and so she pointed out the battery, and the reporter said, well, but where do you charge the car? And she said, well, we charge it in the building. And he said, well, but where does the energy come from that charges the building? And she said, well, I think it's actually natural gas.
We'll talk about this. Before we get started, head over.
Did she say natural gas? She did.
We'll get into it.
Hold it.
Head over to timcast.com. Become a member and help support our work. As a member, you'll get access to exclusive segments on the Timcast IRL podcast Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. We didn't have one on Wednesday because, you know, we had to evacuate the building, and that sucks. But we could use your help, and there was one up the other night. So also, you're supporting our journalists, who we're hiring more of, and you're helping support the infrastructure. We are building a website and building tools that are outside of big tech Silicon Valley garbage and censorship. So don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, from CNBC. The recession will hit in the first half of 2023, and the Dow is headed lower. CNBC CFO survey. So they asked 22 CFOs, C-suite level dudes from, like, I think they're Fortune 500 companies, and they all basically said, oh, we're doomed. And they blamed the Fed. That was one of the interesting things. That they said the Federal Reserve is a huge risk factor for us. So it's going to get bad. We also have inflation. Bidenflation, says the post-millennial. Inflation hits 41-year high as gas and food prices soar. That's right. You know it. I don't need to tell it to you. Gas prices have hit a $5 national average after a rapid rise. So here's what we're seeing. August, food shortages. Gas prices are going to be through the roof. I think they're saying it's going to be $6 to $7 nationwide. So California will be over 10 bucks, that's for sure. And diesel shortages was one of the things that I'm seeing across the board. When that happens, everything else is going to go up. It's going to get way worse. And then here's the best part. The fall harvest is going to be depleted because we had no fertilizer in the springtime because of the war with Russia and Ukraine. So
we're going to be screwed.
I'll just say all of that stuff in and of itself, right? It's falling apart. The world is. Mm-hmm. And then you see the political stuff with January 6th. And I'm just like, hey, this country's falling apart politically. Everything's just crumbling. How are you guys doing?
We attacked, as a culture, we attacked the foundations of our country. We attacked our cultural foundations. We completely destroyed what we were built upon ideologically. And now we are suffering the price of that. We're suffering the fallout from that.
Well, it didn't take a genius to see what was going to happen. Ever since the beginning of COVID, you could see the government intervening in the private market, shutting it down, allowing their friends to be open, and destroying any kind of possibility for upward economic mobility. It has been destroyed. People's futures have been destroyed. And these are the consequences we are paying for these lockdowns, for these politicians that thought that they could control every aspect of your existence because you let them control it.
Well, so let's talk about this gas real quick, because we were getting into this a little bit. I was driving my Tesla today, and I was so confused why everybody looked so angry at the gas station. And I just shook my head and I was like, silly people, just get an electric car. It's only 60 grand.
Did you wave at them as you were driving by them?
I honked and I yelled at them.
Good.
And I said, you need to buy electric cars. And the guy yelled back, I can't afford an electric car. I was like, that's an excuse. You can afford $100 for a gallon of gas. You can afford an electric car.
And with inflation,
$60,000, it's going to be,
the same thing.
That's what it'll cost to fill up your car.
Yeah. Well, actually, check this out. I really think that's what they want. So fracking, for instance, used to be, it was not profitable because the cost of fracking was higher than the amount of energy you'd get out from it. Once fuel started reaching a certain level, all of a sudden it was like, okay, now fracking makes sense. This is what's going to happen. If you're already spending $100 to fill up your car's gas tank, you're going to be like, well, what's $300 for a loan on an electric car? Might as well just do that, I guess. It's going to be cheaper. The problem, ultimately, you can't get electric cars. because everybody's trying to get it all at once in the supply chain disruption.
And there's not enough batteries. There's not enough raw materials. There's not enough supply to meet the demand. And again, the New York Post just released an article detailing a lot of the price rises. They're talking about how restaurants went up 9% when it comes to prices, groceries 11.9%, electricity 12%, new cars and trucks 12.6%. These are the official numbers. The real life numbers are probably a lot higher. Ground beef 13.6%, chicken 17.4%, airfare 37.8%, gas 48%, fuel 107%.
I'll tell you where I'm really feeling those gas prices, man. So, you know, when we were trying to book a private plane, a private jet to Austin, it was $24,000 round trip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, caviar prices.
No, hold on. You need to let me. Excuse me.
Okay.
I didn't finish.
Okay.
At 24 was fine, but now it's been 6 months. $55,000 for a round trip flight. Oh, well, 55 is just too much. I mean, $25,000, and that's
that
fine.
Just crosses the line.
Andy, how are you surviving?
No. But hold on. But I'm dead serious. I was talking to Alex Jones about it. And I was like, how are these people? Like, I hear all these stories, like Amber Heard just flew on a private plane. And he was just telling me, he's like, well, you know, look, this was back in November. He's like, usually it's around like $25,000. You're flying a private plane to like Austin or something. And I was like, wow, that really is expensive. That's insane. I was like, we'll fly commercial. It's a couple hundred bucks. And then we were looking at flights again because we have, there's like apps that track it. $55,000. So it doubled. That's the fuel shortage and the fuel increases.
Yeah, that's crazy. The other thing too is that we are being pushed into this electric vehicle economy because supposedly it's more sustainable. But there have not been any discussions about how the materials in the batteries are mined, how those things are disposed of.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
It's not actually necessarily more sustainable once you take all of those things into consideration. Just like with the plastic bag thing in New York, where they took away all the plastic bags and then they started replacing them with paper and cloth. That's not actually more sustainable. It costs more to transmit those things. To transport those things costs more to make them, all of this stuff. And this is what they want. They want to destroy us. And as many times as Biden keeps saying, every time he says that they want to remake the economy from the bottom up and the middle out, it's just a complete and total lie. They want to remake the economy from the top down by forcing us all to conform to whatever bizarre ideas that they have that aren't actually doing the thing they think it is doing.
So let me ask you guys. Libby, you're okay with saying where you're based out of, right?
Yeah, I live in New York.
What's it been like? I mean, have the price increases been noticeable?
No, not particularly. There have been noticeable price increases in New York, but not as much as other places because we were already paying a premium for everything. So, but I will say, so they haven't been recently more noticeable. They were very noticeable 6 months ago. So it had been like I'd pay $45 for a bag of normal groceries. And then a week later, it was like, you know, 50, and it just kept going up. Now we've sort of leveled off, but I also buy way different stuff than I used to. Like I used to make, my son really likes like this pork katsu style pork chops that I make. I used to make them once a week, and now I make them more like once a month. I'll buy like one meat thing that, and we'll have that once a week, and that's pretty much it. So that is different. There have been a lot of different, like I've been changing how I buy things, and the gas is ridiculous.
What about you, Andy?
Well, I'm just thinking about how hard the working class must be taking it. I think for people who are have the benefit of working in relatively secure type of works like journalism or such, where you have that security, you're above a certain income, and you don't necessarily feel these percentage increases. Or if you do, you see it, it doesn't impact you as much as those who are living paycheck to paycheck. And I wasn't aware of these numbers until you pulled them, until you mentioned it here. And it's so shocking because it's like, I don't know how a working family with children can survive with those type of cost increases. And it's an issue that's affecting all of the world. I mean, if you turn into the UK press, the increases in the energy costs especially, the people are feeling it really there. In France, they have recently had their presidential elections, and that was the cost of living was like.
But they keep voting for Macron.
Yeah, but that's because
they deserve nothing but contempt. No, I mean it. Like, they rioted after, you know, they a tax on petrol was put in, and this is under Macron.
Oh, the yellow vest stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And the protests were like they riot for 18 months, and then they're like, we have to vote for him again. It's like, yeah, okay. You get what you vote for, dude. I'm not gonna. No empathy there. They voted for him again.
They did, but I mean they were given that there are only two options. It's kind of like, I don't know. Can you really blame half of America now for suffering because of the current administration we have?
Oh no, I mean, like, the people who voted for Le Pen, I'm like, man, that sucks. You know, the people who look, the majority of people who voted for these people, I'm just like, what do you want me to say about it?
But if I'm gonna
get what you vote for, man.
But if I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit, I'm wondering how would you all respond then? Let's say to the argument that, look, all over the world, countries and societies are experiencing increases across the board because of the result of the pandemic, and you cannot blame this on the current head of state.
Yeah. So I was looking at a chart that shows the economy in wages, wage growth, and inflation under Donald Trump during the pandemic and then under Joe Biden. And for some reason, a month after Joe Biden becomes inaugurated, wages collapse and start receding and inflation skyrockets. And then I hear from people, they're like, well, that's because what we're seeing now is the result of what Donald Trump did. And I'm like, so hold on. So you're saying that 9 months of policy, so the policy from 9 months prior to the inauguration that Trump did and the governors resulted in a massive spike in inflation and wages collapsing 9 months later. That's what they're saying. They're saying what Trump did during the pandemic resulted in this slide. Okay, well, Joe Biden's had a year and a half and it's only gotten worse. So that means Joe Biden's cleared those 9 months. He should have done something when he got in to reverse what Trump was doing wrong. No, the reality is under Trump, even in the pandemic, it was relatively stagnant. Growth was there around 2-3%. Things got really bad when governors shut everything down, but inflation was not this high, even with the spending. Now under Joe Biden, 9 months later, where is the change? Where is the recovery? It's not there. They're lying. They're making it up.
Yeah, so yes, inflation it's a total, is through. So just really quick, lie. Andy, I would also answer you specifically by talking about the U.S. dollar being the world reserve currency. It's the petrodollar. So what happens here absolutely matters and affects the entire world, especially when you have the U.S. Federal Reserve controlling the supply of the dollars. And when it's bailing out some of the richest, most powerful institutions in this country, it screws everyone else over because it puts so much of that money out there in the world market that it devalues the purchasing power of the dollar for the people who hold it, because it's literally being printed out of thin air. And if you look at the purchasing power of the dollar, it continues to go down dramatically, not just within the last year, 2 years, 3 years. We're talking about decades of the dollar being deliberately destroyed. And to me, all of this is done on purpose as a part of the Great Reset, where they're going to be building back better after destroying the old system. And I think what we're seeing right now is being done deliberately, and it's dangerous, and it's affecting us. But more importantly, it's going to be affecting the world even more.
It is being done deliberately, and it's being done deliberately in order to change society and remake it into something that the Democrats believe will be better. And what they don't understand is that they haven't come up with anything better. Sustainable energy, renewables, they're not better. They're not ready. They cannot bear the brunt of our industrial American nation. Neither can EVs, neither can any of this stuff. And instead of dealing with inflation, instead of dealing with economic issues, they have been reversing, trying to make changes in society. Like the first day Joe Biden was in office, he basically eliminated women, you know, from like civil rights, and has proceeded to do that. So their biggest concerns are enforcing an ideology that very few people but the elites agree with, if they even agree with it a lot at all, if they're not just putting it on, and changing the economy to, you know, benefit themselves and their friends and their ideology. That's all it is. It's a trash way of running this country.
Maybe I'm naive. I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just incompetence.
You think it's just, I used to think it was incompetence. That's the thing. I used to think it was incompetence. And now I think they are intentionally trying to destroy the country because they hate our founding.
They want you
and
thinking.
They hate what we came from. Okay, they hate our culture and they hate Americans. But that's not what I think.
I definitely hear you on that point, but I don't think you need to go that far. It is intentional because they said it was. Joe Biden specifically said he wanted to take climate change seriously. Mm. The Democrats said they want to take climate change seriously. Greta Thunberg said, how dare you? And so Joe Biden gets elected and he says, let's shut down oil and gas leases. Let's shut down Keystone, which caused rampant speculation. And then you see this major fluctuation in wages, inflation, all of these things. It's not all Joe Biden's fault. But if someone comes in and says, I'm going to save the environment, and then all of a sudden gas spikes through the roof and then they enacted policies to make it harder, I'm like, well, yeah, that is them doing it. They said they were going to do it. They said that's why they're going to do it. So I would say, I'm not saying they want the economy to be on fire, but I'll say this. We know they don't want you driving cars. They've said that. We know they don't want you flying in planes. They've said that. We know they don't like farting cows. They literally did say that. So when they enact policies that make it harder for you to drive, I'm like, well, they said they wanted this. If the end result is the economy is bad, I can't definitively prove that's what they wanted. But if people can't drive, the economy will get bad. So it is the result of what they've been trying to do.
Why do you think what drives Americans to the streets in protest is not economic crisis, but things, cultural issues such as over guns, abortion, Black Lives Matter, or protesting the right?
Well, all of those things, you have to be really stupid to want to protest, right? So guns, for instance, I saw a meme. You know, I love the memes on Facebook, and it said, to sell a taco in Texas, you've got to get a permit. You've got to pay a fee, only use certain ingredients, import them and have them regulated. But it's like a huge list. And it's like how to buy an assault rifle. Bring your ID, walk in, fill out a form, have as many guns as you want. And I'm just like, okay, to buy an assault rifle, you have to do a background check from the ATF, the FBI. You got to fingerprinted by a sheriff's department. Whole process can take. Right now, they're estimating about 6 months, but it could be taking a year considering they're a little backed up. These are called NFA items. So the people that are going out going, no assault rifles, like they have no idea what they're talking about. The people that are going out and protesting abortion have no idea what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. We have someone on this show, a progressive, and he could not tell us what he really thought about abortion because he just kept saying it's the woman's choice, the woman's choice. And he didn't know any of these news stories. He didn't know about Kathy Tran in Virginia wanting abortion at 9 months and things like that. And then what was the other thing you mentioned? Oh, the right. Well, yeah. When you watch nothing but CNN and they're like, insurrection. And you hear AOC going, he pounded on my door and went, where is she? You are completely brainwashed in a cult. So, of course, you're angry and frustrated because they keep just beating you over the head with this craziness. Meanwhile, you have people who are associated with the quote-unquote right, which includes post-liberals, moderates, libertarians, conservatives, who are like, I actually read the news about guns and, oh, I understand it's a nuanced issue. It's hard to solve. I actually read the news on the abortion stuff. Yeah, those people are crazy, aren't they? Then you actually see Antifa, and here's what I won't get. I don't understand why the right isn't marching in protest against all of the waves of destruction caused by Antifa, the 529 insurrection, when leftists set fire and tried to raise St. John's Church, when they set fire to a White House guard post, when they tried to actually break down the fencing of the White House and the president was forced into a bunker, and the right, what are they doing? They're going, January 6th is dumb. And I'm like, they're sitting here screaming January 6th in your face and you're saying nothing but, yeah, well, you're dumb. You'd think the right would be like, May 29th, over and over and over again, and say, let's play that game. The right never does. All they do is respond to whatever this left is doing.
That's because the right for so long has been completely overtaken with this idea of the live and let live culture. Like, okay, you want to do whatever your thing is, do it in your own house, you know, you don't have to talk about it, we don't have to deal with it publicly, that's all fine. We'll let those crazy people do whatever they want. And so there's no real conservative culture of an intentional protesting type of pushback. We're not seeing that. I think we're starting to see that a little bit more. I think we're starting to see that bubble up. And, you know, I've only just become aware of organizations that are intentionally trying to do stuff like that. But it's new. I mean, conservatives need to create a culture of demanding their rights and of demanding justice. It hasn't existed. It hasn't existed up until this point. It just hasn't existed.
Yeah, I think that people, have you ever had that problem where you eat a bunch of sugar and then like you have no energy after that? You're just exhausted for like a day or 2 days or something. I think people are living in that state right now, and they're just, a lot of people are unmotivated to get up and to scream. It's starvation will make people crazy. That's something like we talk about the
economy. The left are motivated to organize and mobilize over and over and over.
Yeah.
Including over non-issues.
I think maybe,
and hoaxes.
When people are on psychoactives like Adderall and stuff, that their emotions are very flippant and they can be pushed with like, spectacle really easily. So a burning building or a guy getting punched can make people like become enraged and go do whatever the news anchor tells them to do, especially when they're on psychoactives. I think that's part of what manipulation is coming from.
The crazy thing is, we know that a lot of these assassinations throughout history have been just really deranged people. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it? Hinckley just got released?
Right.
Now you've got the 911 call being released about the guy who went to assassinate Kavanaugh. And he's on the phone saying, I need help. I need psychiatric help. Something's wrong. Like, the dude was nuts. And so these people turn on the TV, and what do they see? They see Chuck Schumer going like, you will pay the price. And he's like, yes, yes. Then he sees the address posted by Ruth sent us, and he's like, yes, yes. Then he buys a plane ticket, gets the weapons, shows up. And then fortunately, this guy turned himself in.
This is what I don't like. Like, Elizabeth Warren would use this flowery rhetoric. We need to fight to get our something, then fight and fight. But to the people on psychoactives, what they're hearing is, I need to fight. And they really think they got to go fight somebody. And then they're literally out of their mind.
Yo, did you guys, I heard the Quartering got swatted again. Mm-hmm. Is that, and Rikeda?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Rikeda. That on Twitter.
I think he was streaming with Rikeda, and I think he got swatted while he was doing that.
But both of them?
I think so.
At the same time, that's what I heard.
They both got swatted at the same time.
I think so.
See, I'm telling you, man, everything's just imploding. So here's what I was saying the other day. If the federal government will not enforce the law, these people showing up to Kavanaugh's house, they won't do it. Then someone actually tries to kill the guy, and they still won't enforce the law against these protesters. That is them outright saying, we do not protect you, we will not protect you. And in all reality, Jen Psaki encouraged them to do it.
Yep.
They're outright saying, we are the ones against you. Like, the protesters and the federal law enforcement are effectively the same thing as far as I'm concerned. Then you have the unwillingness to actually enforce the law, or, I mean, they're probably happy it's happening, I can only imagine. You have the swattings against us, now the Quartering, Rikeda, and other people, and they say, we can't stop it. So if you can't do anything to protect us, and you won't enforce the law to those that seek to do us harm, how is there a country at all?
This is anarcho-tyranny.
Yes, we were talking about this yesterday. That's exactly what it is. It's law-abiding citizens being held to account, and everyone else gets to do as they please. And if you notice, also, the powers that be, they protect the leftist protesters, but they come after the conservative ones. I'll never forget in Lansing, Michigan, I'm pretty sure it was Lansing, early on in the pandemic, I think it was in April, you had a bunch of people whose businesses had been shut down, not the casino owners, they were fine, not the liquor store owners, they were fine, but Gretchen Whitmer had shut down all of these businesses, nail shops and hair shops and like whatever else. So all of these people went to Lansing. They protested at the state house there. They were called white supremacists. They were dragged out of there. You know, all of these things. When conservatives protest for their rights to just exist, they're the ones who are vilified. They're the ones who are taken out. Just like the J6 people. How many people did they take down in that? And it's all being tried with misdemeanors. How long have they spent in jail? No trial. You know, and last week you had Joe Biden saying that none of our rights are absolute. And you can see that his DOJ means it, because these people don't get a speedy trial, right? We have a right to a speedy trial. We have a right to reasonable bail. These people aren't getting that. Joe Biden means it when he says that our rights are not absolute. He's 100% on that.
That's why I say we've probably been in civil war for a while now. People just don't recognize it because they expect warfare to stay the same. And I blame Fallout. the Fallout franchise.
Naturally.
Because Ron Perlman keeps telling us that war never changes, but war actually changes quite a bit. That's why there's multiple generations of, there's different generations of warfare and strategies. So now what we're dealing with is we have this report, whistleblowers claiming the FBI has been purging conservative agents. Okay.
Is that right?
It's a report that several whistleblowers came out and said people who are conservative are being called disloyal and they're being removed. You take a look at the GOP frontrunner in Michigan getting arrested and charged on several misdemeanors, but the FBI raids his house.
That's right. And then they dragged him out of there.
They drag him out. So any way you cut it, the federal government is now arresting opponents of the Democrats, and it is a Democrat administration basically criminally prosecuting and targeting its rivals. Meanwhile, you have people, terrorists, who are showing up to the homes of justices with no accountability. Someone literally came out to kill Kavanaugh, and Merrick Garland still will do nothing. Because, I mean, let's be real.
They're into it.
Merrick Garland and the protesters are the same faction.
They want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Jen Psaki said, we encourage this.
Yeah.
And then the dude shows up. Lori Lightfoot called people to arms.
That's right.
Literally. Over what was happening with Roe v. Wade in this leak. Mm-hmm. And this guy.
Wasn't it like May 9th or something?
Yes.
She did that? Yeah.
She said, it's a call to arms and we must fight for our rights and we will not allow it. And then this guy. He heard it, apparently, and then he shows up. Fortunately, he turned himself in. We're very, very fortunate the guy had a moment of clarity to be like, okay, this is crazy. But this is what happens when they incite, they encourage, and then they don't enforce the law. I would say the federal government's unwillingness to enforce the law here is they are involved themselves in stochastic terrorism.
You know what's interesting, though, too, is
what is stochastic terrorism?
It's when you say things like, we certainly encourage people to show up and protest in front of these people's houses, and then someone shows up with weapons to kill the person who lives there. So it's kind of like, oh, won't someone rid me of this priest? And then someone goes and kills the priest. I never said to do it. I was speaking rhetorically.
Charles Manson, apparently. That's how he was like, sure, it'd be great if some people showed up at their house and wreaked havoc or whatever he told. And then Tex and the rest of them went to the house and killed a bunch of people. Manson was like, I never told him to do it. Yeah, you kind of insinuated that maybe they should.
So when Jen Psaki encourages them to do it, Lori Lightfoot says, call to arms, literally. And then the guy shows up. And then Merrick Garland. Okay, this one guy is getting charged. Right. That's their line, actually trying to pull it off. But the people who are protesting in front of the homes, they're committing a federal crime. And the federal government's like, no, that's fine. We want hyper-partisan pressure applied to the courts. That's the reason why you can't do this is that there can be no justice unless the courts can function.
It's another morning and you're all set for work. You grab your coffee, head out the door, and your car decides today's the day it won't start. Panic sets in. You're not just late, you're stranded. Get ahead of unexpected car repairs before they strike with CarShield, the most trusted vehicle protection company. For almost 20 years, CarShield has saved millions of drivers from repair nightmares with low monthly plans that cover up to 5,000 major parts and systems, like pricey transmission and engine repairs, and check engine light mysteries. Visit CarShield today at carshield.com/Carlson. Plans include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, help with flats, lockouts, and rental car options. Save 20% and get a free quote by visiting CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Don't wait for the next surprise. Choose peace of mind with CarShield. Go to carshield.com/Carlson and save 20% today.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL.
Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. That's why we have the rule, the law in the first place. This is actually the legal justification. If you can't have courts be free from political pressures, then you can't actually have justice.
No, then there's no justice at all.
Which is why we said no protesting to sway a court's opinion. Seamus brought this up the other day. Judges are not elected officials.
Right.
They're appointed. I mean, some judges are actually. But these federal judges are appointed. Not, yeah. So you're not going to change if they're going to be in office or not. What you're trying to do is force them to give the ruling in your favor, which is not justice. And that, and Merrick Garland, the federal government, Biden's administration, the DOJ, they are in favor of all of this.
But if you look at even what happened in Virginia, right? So we had protests outside John Roberts' house, Chief Justice. And there was a recent election in Virginia. Everyone thought it was really going to shake things up. Glenn Youngkin, conservative, came in, to lead Virginia, and he didn't do anything about the protesters outside Roberts' house. He posted on Twitter that he was monitoring the situation, and it's like,
yep.
No, like, as you know, as my friend Jack Posobiec said, it was like, no, the rest of us are watching what's going on. You're supposed to actually do something. You're the leader of this state.
It is a federal law. I'm not sure there's a state law prohibiting them from doing it, so they don't have the jurisdiction.
Oh, is that right?
That's my understanding. I could be wrong, though. Yeah, the idea is that Merrick Garland would be the one who would have to say this is a federal law that you are breaking and have to go in. You'd think after someone showed up to kill the guy, he'd be like, okay, we're going to get people out of here.
Right. Nope. No.
So... I'm just telling you, January 6th hearings, nothing on May 29th.
It's a total show trial. It's preposterous. And that they brought in a daytime TV guy to like do the production on it.
Primetime.
I thought it was a Good Morning America guy.
Oh, it's an ABC, a former president of ABC News.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, he probably did Good Morning America.
Yeah, I think he did. But it's just so ridiculous. It's so obvious and transparent what they're doing. They're propagandizing this entire thing just to try and make it so that Trump can't run again and so that all conservatives are vilified as white supremacists.
Well, the reality is conservatives don't care that a bunch of leftists tried burning down the White House and forced the president into a bunker. I mean, you can argue, no, of course they care. Yeah, but they don't care nearly as much as the left does. The left doesn't want to talk about how they actually set fire to St. John's Church and a White House guard post and tried ripping down the barricades. And
they did rip down the barricades.
They did. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like the actual, they wanted to actually breach the White House. 150 officers were injured in that. And conservatives don't bring it up. The right, I mean, I hate saying conservatives, but every single person in opposition to the violence. Yeah, we can sit here and be like, yeah, Antifa's gone too far. But we're not funding hearings. There's no conservative, right-wing, libertarian, moderate millionaires or billionaires being like, we need to get all these politicians to do primetime hearings about what happened on May 29th when the president was forced in the bunker by a bunch of far-left extremists. It never happens. That's just one example of what the right is never willing to do. Hmm. Meanwhile, the left won't shut up. A right-wing dude can fart in an elevator in you know, next to a senator, and they're screaming. People in pink hats storm the Supreme Court. They go to the Supreme Court. They're banging on the doors and they're screaming. They show up to the Senate buildings and they're on every floor screaming and they shut it down. That's not an insurrection. They go to the White House and set fire to a church, nearly burning it down. It's called the President's Church. They set fire to the guard post, as I mentioned. They tore down the barricades and tried breaching the fence. 150 officers harmed. The left doesn't care. And apparently the right doesn't either. So long as regular people are caught between a news cycle showing constant images of violent MAGA people and the right just keeps saying no, no, no. Well, then the only thing regular people are going to see is the right wing being violent.
What do you think they should do?
I think people on the right should have been having hearings on May 29 endlessly. I think the first thing they should do in once they're all sworn into Congress on January 3rd is they should impeach Joe Biden. And they should have hearings on Ukraine and Burisma and the private equity deals in China. Mm-hmm. And they should hold hearings on 529. And they should say 529, 529 over and over and over again and never shut up about it.
This would kind of be brilliant.
And then here's what happens. You know what I do? I'm sitting in the congressional hearing and they say, we'd like to have a conversation with you about this big tech social media policy. And I would say, thank you for the question. On May 29th, far left extremists set fire to a church outside of the White House and they breached the barricades, injuring 150 police officers. And they forced that. Sir, we're talking about big tech. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. So as I was saying, on 529, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that is what they're doing.
And I've got, you know, they're posting memes. They are going nuts. Now, I will say,
It's the economy, stupid. They can try and do everything they want. I don't think it's going to save them. But it's certainly, when it comes to the political violence and the escalation of the culture war, the right never, never stands up and says, this is the subject. The news cycle is always being set by the establishment.
Well, we're always just reacting. We're always just reacting to what they're doing.
529.
What was interesting too, they talked about that whole, wasn't that when they kept insisting that Trump had gone over to the president's church specifically for a photo op?
Yep.
And they were complaining that protesters had been unlawfully cleared from that park. That was the big story from 529.
And when Trump was forced into the emergency bunker, they mocked him for it.
That's right.
They laughed. They said it was funny. The Republicans, so the Senate Republicans are mostly just establishment shills who are like, better keep my head down and not get involved, mm-hmm. that we can take power back. And, you know, there's relatively few actual good politicians, period.
Right.
But I think, for one, it's going to be really interesting next year because Republicans aren't going to, they're not going to have a veto-proof majority. And they're not, they can nuke the filibuster, but Joe Biden can still veto. Mm-hmm. I think they should just scream 529. Makes stickers. 529, the insurrection.
Yeah, but
the insurrection on 529, Luke.
You expect the Republicans to do something.
No, I don't.
And they don't do nothing.
Right.
And what better way to kind of lull people into this kind of servitude, this kind of larger enslavement than having these people up there who talk a good game but don't really do anything. And again, when you look at a lot of the things that's been happening, you know, a lot of people like to blame only the Democrats. No, the Republicans also are hand in hand working together, not serving the interests of the general public, not helping the people out there, not going out of their way to actually serve their representatives. They serve the special interest. And if they gain power, which they most likely will, you could expect the same shenanigans that are going to screw you over. But instead of being screwed over by the left side, you're going to be screwed over on the right side. So I don't have any hope. This is just my own political kind of ideology from what I've seen within the past 15 years, because it's kind of sickening seeing this kind of left-right divide and conquer game and nothing get achieved, nothing get done, and none of these parties actually truly address the issues that are affecting the general public. They always talk about emotional hyperbolic issues. They always change the conversation, and we never get to the core issue of why we are being screwed over every single day.
Well, I think one thing that happened with the Republicans too is they spent a long time just worrying about, you know, fiscal
Iraq,
issues,
Afghanistan,
well, you know, fiscal tax issues, things like that. You know, they thought that they were above all of this other stuff. A lot of conservatives that I knew, you know, growing up or over the last several years, prior to this current cultural moment, were very insistent that they were fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And I think that was a big mistake. You know, I think giving up the culture and saying whatever crazy stuff you want to do to the culture is fine. You want to destroy the foundations of American principles. That's fine. You want to say that all the founding fathers were racist. That's fine. You want to tear down Confederate statues. That's fine. Right? You want to say that the Declaration of Independence was just racist. That's fine. We're just going to deal with tax law. That was a really huge and stupid mistake because it gave everything away. It said the thing that we're fighting for is meaningless anyway. So what's the point of doing it? You know, what is it that we are going out there and dealing with? I was at a conference recently, TPUSA, this Young Women's Leadership Summit, and I was on a panel talking about some stuff, and it was really fascinating. The most fascinating part were the questions. So you had all of these thousands of women there, young women, who are really, really insistent that it's time to take back the culture, time to go for it, time, and they're angry and they're really pissed off. One young woman asked a question saying, that she, you know, she grew up with, you know, conservative values, but so many people around her grew up with extremely liberal values. And one of the things about that, she said, was that no one knew what a soul was. No one knew what it meant to have a soul, an everlasting soul, an internal soul. People thought that when they had issues that she thought might be spiritual issues, and that we potentially growing up, you know, people of my age group would think were spiritual issues or things of that nature, people thought that they were depression, that they needed to take drugs to fix it, that they needed to be medicalized, that they needed psychiatric care to fix these kinds of issues. Issues like despair, issues like depression. These are not just all issues that are in your brain. And so we have given away religion, we have given away culture, we have given away meaning, and we are expecting anybody to be able to stand up on anything. There's no foundation.
We burned it down. We let them burn it down. And so, and we handed them the match.
Andy, do you have any hope in these lizard people calling themselves politicians?
No.
No, they're not lizard people, or?
I'm being facetious, obviously. But do you have any hope in the current political system? Where do you see things from your perspective?
I spend a lot of time outside the United States now. When I go back and I pay attention to things that are happening here, it actually makes me really sad. Like, I don't think it's a sign of a vibrant democracy for people to show up outside the homes of judges to try to intimidate them, and pressure them and harass them into ruling a certain way. That's actually, I think, a very emblematic of decay in liberal democracy. And all the issues we're talking about here, it's just, it's hard to be optimistic. It's hard to come up with, like, solutions. It's almost at this point, it's kind of like, it's a certain line has already been passed where any solutions are maybe just Band-Aids. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic there. In responding to Libby, I think the political right had ceded culture to the left, and the left went full speed ahead. And you just look at every institution that affects culture and is self-replicating, they have power over, and it's significant. So, you know, I think even if the Republicans now were to take up May 2020 insurrection against the White House, it wouldn't have really any currency to go far, because there's no media buy-in on that narrative. And I'm such a critic of the media apparatus for the fact that they can create certain narratives and uphold narratives that are untrue and mislead the public and misinform them. And so it's, if you don't have the support of that media infrastructure, you can rally around a claim. It won't go anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't, if you look at the big cable networks, their viewership is substantially less than Fox News. And, you know, MSNBC, CNN, and HLN, they get less than what Fox gets combined.
Yes, but that and in combination with print publications, they are able to make the talking points that get to the desk of those in Congress, right?
And my point before was, Republicans will be sitting down with Democrats, and Democrats will say A, B, and C, and the Republicans go A, B, and C, A, B, and C, when the Republicans instead should be going 1, 2, 3. When the Democrats say 1, 6, the Republicans should only talk about May 29th. So right now, with the January 6th hearings, Republicans should be having their own hearings, and any attempt at any conversation on the House floor, on C-SPAN, or otherwise should be on May 29th. Then the media won't have an option. So I mentioned, it's similar to with Donald Trump. He was on Twitter. He should have got on Parler. If he did, it would have forced the media to cover Parler, and it would have forced journalists to have signed up for Parler to get access to his tweets, because the journalists said outright, my job requires me to have notifications turned on for Trump's tweets.
That's right.
But Trump wouldn't do it. Not until after he's out of the news cycle, for the most part. He's still here, but he's not the president. What needs to happen is Republicans need to stop playing the game the Democrats are demanding they play. And the Democrats can come and say, I've got a health care bill. And the Republicans should respond with, thank you for bringing it up. Yes, on May 29th, there was an insurrection. And then they're going to be like, we're having a debate on what? Oh, health care? Right, right. The health care for people on May 29th. The president was forced. Just do not give them a chance. You get a phone call from a New York Times journalist, and they say, I'd like to get your comments on this gun control bill. Ah, yes, yes. On May 29th, there was an insurrection. And then they can print no comments, or they can choose to highlight the issue. So Republicans have power, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. And until they decide to set the news cycle will be whatever Democrats want it to be.
I think the public are owed a public inquiry about not just May 29th, 2020, but the months of riots from coast to coast. Yep. I tried my best to illuminate just really one city in my book, Portland. And there was dozens of other cities that experienced recurring political violence. And to this day, there's really been no congressional interest in finding out who was behind some of these funding sources that were channeling money to these pop-up groups that were on GoFundMe and on Cash App and Venmo, who are part of these networks that are helping transport people from Portland to Louisville to other parts of the United States.
And the issue is the Republicans actually don't want to challenge it. The Democrats and the Democratic and the Republican Party are the uniparty. There was an insurgency in 2016. Bernie lost. Trump won. Trump candidates ended up winning, and they didn't know how to stop him because Trump was leading a lot of the party, and too many Republican voters were unwilling to support someone like Mitt Romney. So now they're confused and they're scared, but I tell you this, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, they would love to be having a debate with the Democrats over, you know, how much money to print or, you know, on what day do we bomb children? Is it the first or the second of the month? Instead, you get Trump, who's like Abraham Accords, pulling our troops out of the Middle East, pulling our troops out of Syria, and shoring up our borders, and they don't like that.
They canceled the Trans-Pacific Partnership, too.
Oh, yeah, that pissed off Republicans and Democrats. They were so angry.
Part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this deal where they wanted to get the United States hooked on basically Malaysian oil, was called the Investor-State Dispute Settlement, and it would have gave these Malaysian oil companies the ability to sue the United States for discrimination if we chose not to buy their oil. And then the American taxpayer would have had to pay these corporations for discrimination. And Bernie Sanders was against it. Trump came in and, like, on his third day in office, basically shut the thing down.
Well, it was like NAFTA on steroids. But the counter argument to that is that there are rumors that this deal was already dead, and it didn't take much not to go through with it because the negotiations have failed.
I don't believe that they redid the deal. Yep. They did it with all the other countries reignited their own version of the deal without the U.S.
It hasn't stopped them before, especially with NAFTA under Bill Clinton, which, again, pushes globalization, pushes multinational corporate interests to have the way with the people. And that's essentially what they've been doing for a very long time.
It's what Klaus Schwab wanted, right?
Yeah. Klaus Schwab.
Corporations to...
Wants. Present wants. Tense. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he wants.
I mean, it's getting, I would say.
Wants and is succeeding at
of people were forced and manipulated to take a product that they didn't want, but if they wanted to continue and live their lives normally, they had to. And, you know, life hasn't come back to normal, and I don't think it ever will.
I disagree with that. They didn't have to. It's only because they were too scared that everybody ended up having to do something. Mm-hmm. If they come out, let me give you this example. You shouldn't speed. Speeding is dangerous. Why does everybody speed?
It's fun.
Everybody. No, I mean 5 miles over.
It's still more fun than going the speed limit.
It is illegal to go even 1 mile an hour over the limit.
Mm.
But it's like a slap on the wrist, right? You get like a minor ticket. Yet you go on the highway, everyone's breaking the law. And for some reason, they're not pulling everyone over. The reality is it's because they can't.
Right. Well, they only pull over a couple of people, people who are egregious and in red cars.
If everyone breaks the law together, then we control what the law is.
It's like we were talking about pedestrians earlier.
The cops want everyone to go the same speed.
Let me give it to you a better way. It's not about breaking the law. It's about the law not being culturally relevant. Because we've mentioned this before. There are books that are called like wacky laws. And I remember reading one where it's like, in Massachusetts, it's illegal to put your apple pie on your windowsill. But like, that's ridiculous. If you did that, no cop is going to walk up and be like, And the reason for it was that back when Massachusetts was, you know, tiny, you'd attract animals or something.
Right, right.
There's bills where it's like you can't take showers on Tuesday or Thursday and you can't water your lawn on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Those are California laws.
Well, those are now, but like on the East Coast. And it was because the local water sources were limited, so they were like, you can't do these things. Yeah. But now, these are not culturally relevant and would never be enforced.
Right.
Speed limits are weird because they're kind of top-down authoritarian in that, like, it'll say every piece of this road is 65 miles an hour, even when you're turning and dipping and turning when, like, well, this should be 45. Sometimes you see signs. At night, it should be slower at night. If it's raining, it should be slower. But the signs always say the same number, so you have to make a judgment call.
That is changing.
That's
good.
There
are digital speed limit signs now. They change.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They can get hacked. Watch out. Don't fall for the propaganda when it says 108.
99.
Yeah. They're trying to get you. You know,
it's like it says minimum 108. Okay, I'm going too fast.
This propaganda of the left and the right and the Republican and the Democrat feels like a cult party game. And I'm looking at this Thomas Jefferson quote. I've been staring at it, that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. And if you look at the last 3 or 4 years, I think this has played out exactly. Where has the U.S. military been in the midst of this problem? They're not involved. They're not messing with us. The National Guard's not giving us problems. It's corporations that are manipulating people with media. It's BlackRock, things like these giant conglomerate
Federal Reserve,
banks.
Which gives them these loans they use to then buy up the property from poor people.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arcseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
It really is. And I think, you know, if we want to revolt against anything, it's against the corporations. It's against the bank.
You know, I think that you're onto something with revolting against the corporations, because they also unleash all of this wicked and ridiculous messaging all over us that doesn't make any sense, that isn't even in line with what they're doing. You know, it's that classic thing, the Pride Month. All of the big companies are like, we're rainbow, super rainbow friendly. We're covered in glitter in the US, Australia, and England and Canada. And then you look at their messaging in North Africa and the Middle East and China, and there's no rainbow glitter. You know, it's just the basic plain logo. They don't care about these things. Well, they don't care about the values that they claim to.
Here's the issue with
they just want to push them on us and make us think that they believe in these things and make us believe in them too.
Corporations
ruining the country.
Corporations are authoritarian.
Yes.
So
that is correct.
With a constitutional republic, you have various systems of electing representative or forms of governance, but we have guaranteed rights. Corporations have a boss, and the boss says yes or no. You want money? I can give it to you, or I can take it away. So when Klaus Schwab is talking about the world being governed by corporations, the morsel idea they try to plant to people is, oh, we're talking about people who do the work, having say over how the work gets done. And what's really happening is massively powerful interests who can decide whether you get access to resources or not. They're massively authoritarian. They're becoming more powerful than governments themselves. He wants the authoritarians to take over.
Yeah, and we should be careful to say corporations.
Exactly.
Because I have a corporation, you have a corporation,
thank you.
We all have our different businesses. These are people who other corporations can't even compete with because they're on such another level. They have bribed so many politicians. They have bought them off. They have the blackmail on so many politicians that essentially they have created a new kind of entity that is even more powerful than the government with how much money and power that they're able to influence our everyday lives over.
This is an important distinction. They're not corporations anymore. When something becomes a megacorp, whatever you want to call it, it's not like a corporation like we intended for it to be. It's not a person. It's a group of them, for instance, and it's bigger than a government. I can repeat everything that was just said, but it needs a different word. We can't take these things seriously.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, back in the day with medieval warfare, you had groups of similar people. France and Britain, right? They're from the same area. It's the land. Now, like warfare very much is major corporations, but mm-hmm. just imagine thinking like McDonald's private army and things like that. You know, it's like our chief export is cheeseburgers and they have a bunch of armed guards.
But it's like who owns McDonald's? No, probably BlackRock.
But you think I'm kidding. Take a look at the Banana Republic, right?
Mm-hmm.
When armed guards went in and wanted to make sure the bananas could be shipped out because the bananas were the key, you know, product right. for the company. What was it? What was the company that?
Chiquita,
yeah. right? And they like overthrew the country.
Yep.
It's like the government, the corporation was more powerful than the government.
Look at the stories of
and they had banana guards. Exactly. They had banana police.
Well, look what happened with Panama, Noriega, the stories of the economic hitman. These are stories that are absolutely mind-blowing to show you how these multinational corporations use intelligence agencies to do their bidding for them. I mean, we reached such a crazy level where, again, our government is for purchase, and it's been bought by some really awful people who only want to benefit themselves and don't care about anybody. But they don't care about you.
They buy it by buying the corporations that work within the government. Like, I'm just looking at McDonald's Corp. The top three investment holders are Vanguard Group, State Street, and BlackRock. They own about 19% of McDonald's Corp.
You nailed That's it. Hilarious. It was BlackRock. The other thing, too, these corporations think that because they are so big, because they have amassed so much money and economic power, that it is up to them to influence government policy. We saw this in Florida with Disney coming after the laws in that state, believing that they had some sort of right to tell Ron DeSantis and the legislature and all of the people of Florida that they couldn't have this parental rights and education bill, even though it was wildly popular. And corporations came out just recently, a whole bunch of them all got together and sent a letter saying, hey, we demand action on gun control. It's important that we say something. We have to take a stand and say something. Shut up. Like, shut up. You go make money. We already give you a ton of money. We buy your stupid stuff. We eat your stupid bad cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get a say over the government that we elected. Maybe each individual does. Write a letter to your congressman. Write a letter to your representative, what have you. Like, you're an individual constituent. But the corporations that believe that they have a right to influence the federal government, to influence the state governments, and it's such a huge overreach on their part.
Yeah, and you said it earlier that you thought this was intentional, what's happening. I think so, because there's nothing more that these people would love to see than the fall of American Democratic Republic. It's the
right,
biggest
resistance.
Right, because
then they will get to take over. They will just get to do whatever they want.
What's your favorite corporation, Andy?
I don't think I have one, but this conversation, I haven't put enough thought into thinking about the relationship between corporations and government, and I'm embarrassed that I'm ignorant about that. I just, and as Libby was channeling out her anger just now, you know, it's made me so angry and frustrated. It's like, yeah, why is Ben and Jerry's and all these other SJW corporations and trying to affect legislation? In the UK, Ben and Jerry's is trying to pressure the British government against its legislation about sending illegal asylum seekers to Rwanda. And
wow.
But I think the case in Florida of a corporation that's headquartered in Burbank, California, trying to tell parents what they can or cannot have in terms of information about their children's education, that's like, but how? I'm surprised that there aren't more people pushing back. You're right that there does seem to just sort of, we just lay down and accept that we accept this culture where these mega corporations with their billions and billions of dollars can actually try to influence our laws.
And this
grossly inappropriate.
Trillions.
This used to be a left-wing position, and now we're talking about it.
Well, that's because the corporations took all of the took all of the tax breaks and whatever else from the GOP and then just sided with the leftists anyway.
I'm trying to look. Is it Unilever that owns Ben and Jerry's? Is that, can anyone confirm that?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I think it's Unilever. Ben and Jerry's. I'm going to try
Ben,
to see
Ben
who
and Jerry's and Dove are both owned by Unilever.
So I wonder who owns Unilever.
No, Unilever is the parent company.
Yeah, but that's
what you mean the investors.
Yeah, who invests?
Oh, come on.
You already know.
Wait, isn't it BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard?
They own like 18 to 19% of almost every corporation in the world. Right. Every publicly traded corp, Microsoft, Dow. You go down the list. It is embarrassing that I didn't know. It's embarrassing for me that I wasn't aware of this till 2 years ago.
I think it's probably just good that you're aware of it now.
Yeah.
Let's Let's talk about woke corporations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to warn you,
if you have
young children, I'm gonna ask everybody to just try and use as much self-censorship and innuendo to convey accurately what these ideas are. And this is because it is adult content. We will not be getting into explicitly, but it's a major news story from Fox News. Postmates slammed over bottom-friendly Pride Month menu. The Postmates bottom-friendly menu drew a great deal of criticism on social media from users who criticized the company's Pride Month move. Let me just simplify this for you. Postmates made a commercial for what's called a bottom menu. How do I describe this without crossing into PG-13 or R-rated territory?
We can't even be PG-13. Because this is definitely a PG-13.
This is an X-rated story.
Yeah, NC-17.
What this means is that Postmates made a video that was explaining how to engage in adult gay activities and was providing the service for it, and then went on to explain why they were proud to do it. And they were, you know, they said that they're tired of sex ed being heterosexual or whatever. And my attitude was just like, I don't see commercials from like Dole or Del Monte about pineapples and like couples and why that's beneficial or anything like that. We don't have these commercials.
That's a fair point.
So this commercial was like a bit over the top, but this is the intent. Mm. So I don't think the story here necessarily is the Pride Month thing. The story I see here is we have gotten to the point where the attempts to shock the public to get attention have become so drastic and desperate, they're actually just collapsing, decaying, and falling apart. It used to be shocking content was saying a naughty word or something. And you go, oh, I can't believe they would say that. Now it's...
Or remember when it was shocking to see a man's butt on
right.
TV?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, NYPD Blue. Scandal, right. It was, what was it?
Dennis Franz, yeah. Whatever. Detective yeah. Sipowicz.
Yeah. Oh, that was a big scandal.
Like in the late 90s, he saw his butt on ABC TV or something. Yeah.
I remember
because it also wasn't Jimmy Smith's. It was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, come on, he's the cute one.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You couldn't swear on TV?
Yeah.
That's right.
Now it's just...
It's all kinds of crazy stuff.
So what I see is this ad, it was... I mean, this is like X-rated stuff they're talking about. It's kind of crazy.
I was shocked when you showed me this. I hadn't been online much today, and I
that was enough.
I took a look at this, and I was just like, "Oh my goodness!"
They're basically explaining
really
like,
insane.
Can you pull up the ad?
Yeah, let's.
No, I can't.
You can't.
One of the
no,
fruits.
No, can't show it.
Of course, I can't show it.
It shows
it's like
fruit peaches walking around,
a peach and an eggplant
fetish wear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's like.
Right, there's like kink stuff in there.
It's so
gross and weird.
They did have one recently too, where it was like two buns that were both the top.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Burger King.
Yeah,
Burger
that was King, the yeah. that was the
They're
tame version of this
burger.
They're yeah. topping Burger King, in fact.
Yeah. So to me, this is more of the contagion of social media. You have to shock. You have to make everyone engage with what you're saying, and it doesn't matter if it's in the form of a ratio in the quote tweets or if it's people being. Positive about it. Mm-hmm. In fact, negative attention is often more engaging for people than positive attention because it's just kind of how we're wired.
Yeah, people are more likely to comment if they have something negative to right. say rather than something positive
right.
to
people,
say.
I've got this. It's a commercial explaining the negative ramifications of a bad diet while two dudes do it. That's
there
what
you
it's
go.
About.
That's
oh, gross.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Right.
That and it's like, here's what you need to eat and here's why you need to eat it. And I'm like, wow, I never thought I'd see that.
I mean, what's
be cool
going
if they're
on?
Promoting fasting. But
well, as a gay man here, can I share my thoughts? I find this offensive, not because of traditional or religious values, but the fact that once upon a time, much of the effort that helped really to mainstream and normalize tolerance for gay and lesbian people was the fact of showing that we are just like you. And now these advertisement campaigns in recent years and political campaigns and social campaigns during Pride are about focusing on like sex and explicitly sex. And that's, I mean, that was what originally made a lot of people uncomfortable around gay or lesbian people. They always thought about the sex and the fetish and all that. And then the fact, you know, that this particular advertising campaign is focusing on anal sex and using references to fetish gear to talk about what's that have to do
food
with
delivery.
Pride.
Yeah.
No.
Or food
delivery.
Exactly.
So someone responded to their tweet and they said, if you are not literally helping us have sex, are you really an ally? And Postmate said, exactly. and that's blah, blah, blah. And they're like, that's what we want to do. And I'm like, I didn't realize my food delivery service was required to help me have sex. You know,
well, the other thing, too, is in a lot of ways, pride has morphed into something of just being proud of your sex kinks. Right?
Pride cometh before the fall.
We've seen that. Like the Washington Post ran a whole piece about why it's really important to take your kids to Pride so that they can see kink.
Right.
Fatherly recently ran a piece talking about how it's really important to take your kids to Pride and to explain to them what kink is. There's all of these pushes from, people advocating for more sex ed, saying that you have to talk about kink as part of sex ed. But they're not talking about healthy relationships. They're not talking about love. They're not talking about, you know, goals for a successful partnership or any of that. It's just all about, like, this is how you get off, and getting off is the main point of life.
They'll explain it as love to encounter, because it's erotic love. Eros is a type of love.
Martin Bailey.
I think that a sect of humanity in the last 15 years has become extremely desensitized to sex, like, big time. The kids that saw porn when they were 9, 10 years ago are 19 now, and they're kind of leading the charge. They're probably CEO Postmates. And then there's a grand
19-year-old CEO.
Maybe not, but like soon. And there's a grand percentage of us that, or people that are not desensitized to it and are like freaked out and are freaking out. And those people that are desensitized are having fun with it. They see that it's getting a reaction, that other people can't take it. The Puritans, oh my God. And so they're just pushing it, and because, like, you can't stop me.
Well,
I'm a United States citizen.
And they're pushing it on kids in order to justify their adult fetishes.
I think that we should use law enforcement for that kind of thing.
Yep. Well, some people are trying.
Because, like, if you did that in a park to a kid.
DeSantis is trying. Yeah. You had in Texas, they were working on trying to – it's similar but different – trying to criminalize the medical gender transition of minors.
It's weird because, like, if there's a community that wants to do weird sex stuff, you kind of just let them do their weird sex stuff. But then
this is the live and let live thing. This is kind of, you know, to a certain extent, I wonder – I'm just throwing this out there – is it possible that this is how we got here?
Mm-hmm. For me, it is. I've had hands off for 20 years. I've been like, do whatever you want.
I've always said that too. Like, whatever anybody wants to do, that's up to them. But perhaps, do whatever you want to do, that's up to you. But maybe it makes sense to discuss the perils of hedonism. You know, maybe it makes sense to discuss the difficulties that can arise from using your body as a sex toy.
We have no choice at this point.
And the psychological effects of watching online adult content.
This is all very real. Right. And it contributes to the meaninglessness of our society, and it contributes to the nihilism that is so much more easily grasped than, any of the stuff that actually is fulfilling.
But not only that, but to the destruction of future relationships. Mm-hmm. Because if people are desensitized and they're on the internet and their parents just give them a computer or a phone and then they're able to be in their own room by themselves, they go on websites that rewire their brains to prevent them from having healthy relationships as adults.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, in my opinion, a larger plot of the depopulation agenda. This is one way to prevent people from having children, from having healthy relationships. Because if we really did care about, this stuff, we would be talking about healthy relationships, boundaries, way to communicate your wants and needs, ways to have a healthy relationship, ways to coexist with another human being by being able to respect them as another human being and not see them as an object. So that would be something that, of course, we could have a conversation on, but we don't. All we have is kink. All we have is fetish. All we have is this weird stuff that you could do because it's cool and trendy, and this corporation is telling you to do this. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
I think you're right that a lot of people do. This is a good opportunity and example of us humanizing people that we may not agree with, and kids watch this show, which is a good thing.
I have a working theory that they are choosing the worst parts about these lifestyles to make, for example, gay men look terrible. I think they're actively taking steps to
It does make us look terrible.
It does. It looks terrible.
And nobody wants to talk about the dark parallel that runs with this super encouragement of sexual promiscuity is the disproportionate rates of HIV and STI infections and
monkeypox.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the story right now.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're going to talk about the health effects that you need to consider when you're living a high-risk lifestyle, you should talk about all of them. You should talk about the problems that come with promiscuity. You should talk about the problems that come along with being in really intensely dysfunctional relationships, but they're not. They're just trying to make a splash, and it's so shallow and short-lived. And I think it's seriously throwing our culture off balance.
Or maybe it's, I mean, we've also like so clearly destroyed families. Yeah. You know, I've been giving this a lot of thought, just personally about like my own life and my family history and everything. My grandparents on both sides, on my mom's and dad's sides, were both divorced in the 70s. Mm, yeah. My parents got divorced. I think they got divorced shortly after both their parents got divorced. Oh, yeah. You know, they got divorced. My dad got divorced twice after that. My mom got divorced again after that. You know, my husband and I split up. Like, what is this? Like, we can't, this is generations at this point of people who cannot maintain a family structure. Mm. You know, and everybody, you ask them, everybody's got a really good reason. You know, everyone's got great reasons why they couldn't maintain their marriages, why they couldn't maintain their families. But literally every single one is messed up. And then I look at,
let's pull up this story right here. And then I look at
my son and I'm like, is he going to be able to maintain a marriage? Like how, you know?
I want to pull up the story from Postmillennial. Libby, do you want to read this one?
Sure. Wait, let me get my glasses. I can't see that far. Away.
Can't see that far.
No.
Can you read it?
Yes. Fox News airs segment celebrating transgender teen. Hannah Nightingale wrote this up today. I was shocked when she brought me this story. Said that she was going to write it up. Fox News, it turns out, is as woke as Postmates, perhaps. They ran a puff piece on a trans teen out of Southern California, and they made claims, and the mother makes claims, that it was painful for her daughter to have to wear feminine clothing. So that must mean that her daughter is a boy. As though wearing boys' clothes makes you a boy somehow. It's like, it's a magical, when I put on jeans and t-shirts.
I'm a boy.
America celebrates. Look at this. Look at this. Fox News ran.
Yes.
Look at America together celebrating diversity.
Oh, please.
LGBTQ plus Pride Month.
Please.
I have really strong words that I would like to say to Fox News, but this is a family-friendly
YouTube video. Brian Yannis has a story about that family that hopes their experience can help others. Watch here.
If you saw me walking down the street, you wouldn't think anything different.
14-year-old Rylan Whittington is a typical Southern California teenager. And the Whittingtons, along with mom Hillary, dad Jeff, and sister Brinley.
All right, whatever. Look.
Yeah.
My
It is whatever.
I think, like, where's
the news? Where's the Rylan?
I know. Like, I have two questions. Like, I don't understand why Fox News is airing this story.
I don't either.
Look.
Because they're owned by BlackRock.
The issues I have are around lack of parental rights. So in the schools, if the children are being exposed and keeping a secret from their parents, if the parents are making decisions for their kids, well, there's questions about, you know, where the parents' rights are. And the issue of surgery.
Yes.
on children. I don't know the full depth of the story. I think for me, what I can comment on is, why is Fox News airing this?
It's a really good question as to why Fox News is airing this. And I think somebody should ask Fox News why they are airing this, why they would be conceivably airing a puff piece on a trans teen, who, if this teen goes through with all of the transness, will end up leading a life where they can never have an orgasm.
I mean, and they're saying it's a quote, for me, it's just a deep spiritual belief that if you believe in God and he, you know, created us the way he wanted us, well, then yes, he created Rylan just the way he is, said the mother.
Which means that that Rylan needs nothing to be who Rylan truly is. Doesn't need any drugs, doesn't need any surgery, doesn't need any changes. Cut your hair, wear whatever clothes you want.
In fact, without anything, that's when you are who you truly are.
That's who you truly are. Exactly.
So this is News Corp, which owns Fox, and they have about 7% of the company is owned by the triad, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. There's another one called Independent Franchise Partners. I think what they're doing is, this is a Mott and Bailey. They give you staged opposition, you know, the controlled opposition for a while. They did that for the last couple of years. Now you're starting to see the real propaganda.
Controlled opposition is the word here that I think is key to really understand a lot of the motives of some of the Republicans and some of the Republican news networks. I mean, what's the purpose here? What's the relevance? How is this impacting my life? What does this have to do with me living my life every single day? It has nothing to do with it. And why am I being told about this? Like, it's crazy what news has turned out to.
Well, and it's not just why are you being told about this. It's why is Fox encouraging parents to gender transition their children?
Yeah.
Because that is what's going on here. This is no different than when President Biden got up there on Trans Visibility Day or whatever it was called. Sorry, I'm having trouble.
Me too.
Together, Libby.
I'm trying.
Why would anyone? I'll say this. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
but Biden said that. Biden told parents to gender transition their children.
Right. Outside of this story, which, I'm just going to say, you know, as an aside. Man, I think it's a good opportunity for people who are members of Fox Nation to sign up for TimCast.com. Mm-hmm.
That is such a great idea. I totally stand.
Private corporations, these public corps are dangerous.
These people, whoever ran this has absolutely no ethics.
Hey, you know,
they're no different than CNN.
You know who's not owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, all these people? It's TimCast.com.
Well, I will say that the Post Millennial and our sister publication, Human Events, we are also not owned.
There's also another group called We Are Change out there.
Are you also independent? Are you independent?
That was a big part of what Elon was doing with the Twitter buys. He wants to make it private.
Make it private. And I think that he's right.
We went to, you know, Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock, and they didn't. They rejected us. And then I was just like, well, we don't want your money anyway. We're independent, and you suck.
They do suck.
No, I'm kidding.
Block rack.
I was outside waving my fist at them.
I know what you're up to.
How many people do you think are involved with owning those corporations?
Well, they have commercials, and they tell people to put their investment, their retirements.
Yeah, we saw one last night.
Yeah. They're like, invest with us.
And I should start using a different word than megacorps. But even that is a word corporation in it.
What about Eldritch horror.
Yes. These horrors.
Cthulhu.
What do you think? It's Eldritch like 20 guys? This is conspiracy theory time. Luke, what do you think? 20 people own these companies? Or do you think it's more like way more than that?
Some people say 13, but who really
nice
knows?
Number.
Yeah, that's a handy number.
Like the heads of families?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if we got that client list, we might know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Well. The thread pulls deep on this one. Remember the Panama Papers? Boy, that gets swept
under
the
rug. That got hidden so quickly.
It was like a woman. Mm-hmm. And she got murdered, right?
Yeah, yep, assassinated.
Wait, she got murdered? How did I miss that part? I guess because it got covered up by Fox News and CNN, which may as well be the same company.
When I go to sleep at night, my nightmares are that it's already on lockdown. The whole world is already on corporate lockdown by these companies and that we are just along for the ride.
We just were 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
We were on corporate lockdown.
But lockdown like spy network, satellites watching, they're ready to kill anyone at any time, lockdown like just fall in line or die kind of thing.
Mm.
It's I hope it's not like that, but man, I know that they have satellites. I don't know.
Yeah. Elon Musk has satellites that he's using right now in Ukraine.
So what, you got to trick the world into changing?
Yeah.
Make them laugh their way to the bank,
no,
the new
you
bank.
You have to give people tell people how to find meaning and fulfillment in their lives, or not even how to, but to go search for that.
Yeah.
To go search for, you know, don't tell people what to believe or how to believe it, but tell them with an expression of faith to go find these things for themselves, to figure it out, to ask, you know?
I think one of the ways the right wing has really, really failed has not been giving a positive goal for people.
Because as we were saying before, it's constant reaction.
It is, yeah. And the constant reaction is no way to move forward. You're not moving forward when you're just saying, this is bad, when you're standing athwart history yelling, stop.
And it does need to be positivity. You need to like give some way to find a path. I think of this woman that I talked to at TPUSA or who asked this question constantly because I'm thinking like, because one of her questions was, if you have no framework for meaning or for a soul or for faith, how do you find it? Where do you begin if you have absolutely don't have the language? Yeah. We've taken the language away from kids about meaning, about faith, about a soul, about, you know, any of this stuff. And we've replaced it with gender garbage, you know, so fully. Where do you begin? If you are devoid of all meaning, if you are, you know, miserable and you think that it's all in your brain, you don't even have the words to go find what it is that will help you.
Yeah.
The scientific method has been, there's too much weight and importance put on that, I think, in our society because it only can indicate it just looks for patterns. And if it can't find a pattern, it tells you it's not real. But the thing about God, if there is such a thing, is it's not the same. if it's a pattern, it's happening from really far away and it looks like chaos to us. But there's still something to it.
I suspect that the right will win in the end because they are actually asking these questions and the left never will. We are at least attempting to be somewhat self-aware.
The right's going to win because they have kids.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's it.
That's true too. But when you teach your kids that you want to search for a purpose and meaning and that that purpose and meaning is not found within yourself, and that's incredibly solipsistic to think that it is, then you're going to have more success in life overall and you're going to be happier. Like, having kids is great, but if they're miserable and they're ready to be transed, what's the point? It's like not having kids at all.
Well, you have to share faith and love of life with them.
Right. And you have to be in that position where you're looking for it too.
Yeah. And what's interesting too is the way that we treat children now is we treat them like, you know, just another pleasure object, right? Yeah. If you look at this whole thing, there's a doctor in India who is certified by some board in the U.S. who is planning to transplant a uterus into a man.
Good luck.
So that that man can feel further feminine. And this is after, like, drastic reconstruction and, like, all of the rest of it. There is absolutely no thought given to... Now, first of all, it's going to fail. But there's... Mm-hmm. Secondarily, there's no thought given to what will happen to this child. This child will be the product of an egg from one person, the uterus, an egg from one woman, a uterus from another woman, be gestated in the body of a male who is actually only doing this for their own personal fulfillment, to feel more female. Who is this child? Who is this child's mother? Who is the father?
My question is, like, how do they attach the uterus?
Well, it's going to not work.
Yeah.
It already didn't work in mice. Like, it actually is as stupid as it sounds. But even when you think about, like, surrogacy or other things where you have a child that is conceived and gestated from, like, you know, half a dozen people or whatever, where are you from? What's your background? What's your culture? What's, you know, who's your mother? Who's your daddy?
Yes.
But, like, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
That's the big question these days.
Right?
It is, yeah.
Your environment, I suppose. Genetics, you know, obviously your past, up the tree comes into it, but who's raising you?
Who's raising you and where are you from? I mean, at a certain point, you know, like when you talk to people who have been adopted and everyone wants to know who their original parents were at some point.
And when I feel like maybe we're probably the issue here is that we're placing far too much emphasis on the physical body. This is why we're doing insane things like transplanting a female uterus into the pelvis of a male. Mm-hmm. Never going to work. No. You should maybe think about your soul instead.
I want to make sure we get to this.
Think about your soul instead.
I want to make sure we get to this story because I know this is something that Andy really wants to talk about. From the Post-Millennial, secret grand jury in San Diego indicts alleged Antifa members accused of brutal assaults. Andy, what's this about?
So we just had the anniversary of V-Day, and every time that comes every year on social media, you can expect stupid hot takes from people sharing photos of World War II heroes and saying that this was the original Antifa. Mm-hmm. And along that, what they're trying to suggest is that when we talk about violent extremist Antifa groups and networks today, that it's a figment of my imagination and those who have been victimized by those militants have made it up. Well, in San Diego, a grand jury met over 13 days last month was presented with evidence by the prosecutors that alleged Antifa members from two cells in Los Angeles and San Diego conspired to and participated in a brutal attack on the public in the beginning of January last year. There was a Trump rally, and Antifa had organized, as they have always done, where they post the flyers online and where to go, all the signs of organization, and they went there and they were really indiscriminate in their violence. They attacked people that had nothing to do with the rally. A dog was injured. If you looked at the indictment court documents, they brought weapons there. There's some video that was embedded here. And my report that I co-wrote with Ava Knott, and this is an exclusive for the Post-Millennials, that we were able to get most of the photographs of the suspects. San Diego doesn't release images of those who have been arrested. And so this is literally an unmasking of the suspects. And if you look at the charging documents, The indictment, it says explicitly the allegations that these are Antifa members. So, you know, this won't happen, but I wish this story or those court documents ended up on the desk of every lawmaker in Congress, especially those who have gone on record over and over to deny the existence of Antifa. And this is a really big case in that, so there are 29 felony counts against the 11 suspects accused of being part of those cells. Included in that is felony conspiracy. And this is the first time anywhere in the United States that those who are accused of being part of Antifa have been charged with conspiracy. That's significant. Wow. This should be.
Well, we saw January 20th, 2017, they charged all those Antifa with conspiracy, but they actually got the charges dismissed, filed a lawsuit, and then won millions of dollars from D.C.
Not surprised.
What's interesting is if I'm against fascism, you would consider me anti-fascism. It doesn't make me part of Antifa because they could call their organization Happy Guys. And if they went around and beat people up, you don't even have to be happy to be in the Happy Guys. It's just a group name. They call it Antifa. It doesn't mean anything to do with fascism. They're angry and they're beating people on the street, apparently.
We're going to call our organization the Good Guys. Yeah. We're going to be like, we're literally the good guys. What are you talking about?
The good guys. What is the ethos of Antifa as an organization? I guess it's a lot of different disparate factions that are all kind of under an umbrella concept. Is that what you've been able to, like, but what is, do they want peace? Are they trying to renegotiate society in a way?
Yes. So broadly organizing under this concept of being against fascism, they believe in violent direct action as being one of the very effective tactics in achieving their goals, up to and including terroristic acts. And so the fact that Democrats have openly allied with this Antifa branding and messaging, that's really disturbing to me, because Antifa is as anti-liberal as it can be. These are people who believe that the response to speech and ideas and expressions that you disagree with is to attack, maim, and or kill those people who are expressing those views. That is what they actually believe, which is why when they organize their counter-direct actions, it's to bring, like in this case, pepper spray, bats, other projectiles to throw at people's heads and beat them with bats. And you know, this violence is caught on the on cameras quite often, and this evidence is still denied over and over. I hope that people read this story. You can also go to the San Diego County Prosecutor's Office and look at the charging documents. Part of the reason why these Antifa groups and cells have felt so empowered to carry out acts of violence over and over is, for the most part, they've been able to do it with impunity. Literally.
I want to point out when it comes to activism, there are two types. According to the way humans look at Earth, there's direct action, and then there's action appealing to others, which is like, hey, you know, fix our streets. And there's direct action, which is
fixing the street.
Yeah, go out either economically or physically changing it on your own.
Does this look like tides are turning? Like maybe that we're going to start seeing some action taken against Antifa, or is this, it's because San Diego?
No, it's because the prosecutor who was elected there is somebody who's willing to enforce the law. And actually her candidate, I forget what year, it was recently where she went into office, but during the campaign, the person who was running against her was a benefit for that campaign. I forget her name, but the left wing prosecutor candidate in San Diego County had benefited from Soros Super PAC or PAC money. So unfortunately, San Diego voters had voted for somebody who appears to want to apply the law evenly. Mm. I don't think this is a tide turning at all. If you scroll down the story, by the way, so the arrests for these suspects actually happened around December of last year. Wow. And in some of the court documents that were retrieved from the co-author, Ava Knott, scroll down a little more just after that. Like these are some of the weapons that were seized from the suspects. So, you know, these are people who have who bring deadly weapons to their so-called direct actions and have access to weapons that can kill lots of people, and they explicitly... Well,
they're allowed to. But when you have a deadly weapon and then you commit an assault on someone, that should up the charges to assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, they're open about their violent extremist views and their calls for killing people. So I think Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it to get into Second Amendment.
My view is they got a First Amendment so they can say dumb things, but you can't incite to violence. They got a Second Amendment so they can walk around with guns while doing it, but they attacked people.
They did.
They hurt a dog.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. If you're going to go around with a weapon like that and actually attack people, you are committing assault with a deadly weapon. So that's a much, much more serious charge. And good. That's what it's for.
It seems like this violent direct action that has been happening has been kind of lost in the noise the last couple of years because there's so much news that it's just like a lot of things. It's hard to sift through it, but it's real. And I feel like our government or National Guard should be on high alert against violent direct action right now.
Well, they are when it comes from the right.
Yeah.
They're very focused on that.
Or the wrong.
Right.
Definitely not the wrong.
Who's right? The right or the wrong or the left? I'm not sure what's going on here. Anyhow, maybe so far they have been. And that's fine. But I just all around, we need to protect our streets and our people.
Well, when they talk about fighting domestic terrorism, they're not talking about these guys. When Merrick Garland comes out there and he says, you know, domestic terrorism is this huge threat. They're not talking about these Antifa guys, right? They're talking about, like, the people that showed up in Lansing and wanted their businesses to be allowed to be opened. They're talking about, you know,
parents at school board meetings.
Parents at school board meetings. Yeah. Exactly.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's important to point these violent direct actions out by all people when it's happening, especially right now as the economy is inflating.
Even when that man was threatening to try to take Brett Kavanaugh out, they were on the news saying, well, these threats definitely come from both sides. We need to keep in mind that it's, you know, from both sides, and we have to take into account, you know, I don't know, like parents at school board meetings and stuff. And I'm like,
and it's just not accurate.
Take the plank out of your own eye, people, before you try to take the speck out of the right wing's eye. Honestly, it's really exhausting.
If Trump was responsible for the actions of some of his supporters, I wonder why those who have been inciting violence day in and day out in response to the abortion stuff haven't been held responsible for the alleged actions of this foiled murder-suicide plot.
Well, you could apply it retroactively, too, with the shooting at the baseball field where Steve Scalise almost died. That was a Bernie supporter. Nobody cared about that. They didn't try to attach Bernie to him. We didn't either, because we're like, it's not Bernie doing this in the same way we said it's
but
not
the
Trump
thing
doing
too
this.
529.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The thing, too, though, is we saw, even when Trump was in office, we saw the Democrat left saying that it was acceptable to harass and target members of the Trump administration when they were in public, right?
Telling
wasn't like Sarah Sanders was like basically
at
harassed at a Waffle House. She was harassed out of a Waffle House. Am I remembering this correctly?
I think Tucker and his family.
Yeah, and there were a lot. This happened a lot. Maxine Waters said it. Get in their face.
It's happened to me in D.C.
It happened to you 100%. In D.C. It allegedly happened to you in New Orleans, but it wasn't really you.
Oh, yeah. It was not me.
It happened to some random Asian stranger.
They keep doing that.
Yeah.
So wow. Bad.
Sam Hyde level
there stuff. Was that video of that dude. He's like an Asian guy. And they're like, you're Andy Ngo. And he's like, no, I'm not.
I am
and they're
not.
Like, yes, you are. And he's like, no, I'm not. And it's clearly not you. That's the crazy thing. It's like, I don't know. I think it's because they don't actually know who you are. They've heard your name.
Yeah.
So then someone sees an Asian guy and they're like, that's Andy Ngo because Asian guy.
It must be him.
And then the people who don't know him. So this happened to me when I was at which university is up on the Upper West Side of New York? Is it Columbia?
Columbia.
Mike Cernovich was speaking there several years ago. So several years ago. I went there to just go film. And there's a protest. And then someone yelled out, that's Tim Pool. Don't let him film you. No one knew who I was. So they all start looking around confused. And then I look around with them like, who are we looking for, right? Because I'm not stupid. I know if I like...
Oh, you just started looking around too? You're like...
I acted like they acted. I acted because it made it impossible.
That's sweet.
So they pointed out some old guy with a camera and a vest. And some dude starts going, you're the reason that we... And this old guy is going like shrugging. But now everyone's looking at him. Then the activist goes, no, not him, him. And he's pointing at me. And then I'm just looking around like, what's going on? Like, and then eventually they figured out he was talking about me. Some young woman went to the police there and started making things up about me, saying this guy's violent and he's trying to, he's telling his friends to come and kill us right now. And then I walked up and I pulled out my press card, of which I have numerous, because I worked at Vice, I worked at ABC. And then I was like, sir, I don't know these people. And then I showed them, and they were like, we're sorry about that, man. And then they actually were just like, ma'am, you go away. And then she got really angry, like, oh, her lies didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't actually know. So when they see an Asian guy and someone says Andy Ngo, they're like, that's him. That's all that matters. Because they're psychotic, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, I'm appealing now as indirect nonviolent action to the FBI. If you guys want to stop street violence like J. Edgar Hoover did with the mob, I mean, now's the time. We got
they are the mob. Come on.
Nip it in the bud, because these guys, if they're really organizing and beating people up on the streets, we got to stop it now.
I don't think they have
I don't think you understand,
that.
Ian.
I'm just asking. If you guys are listening right now, I'm asking you, do you want to stop
they
it?
Because they don't.
Now's
the time. So they
I got to say it again.
I'm not
going to
assume.
Ian, you're saying, I know you're beating me up, but if you want to stop you from beating me up.
No, I'm talking about these guys dressed in black kicking dogs on
the
street.
That's right.
Shooting.
I don't know if there are people involved in it that work for the national government or not, but if you're listening, which you are listening right now, and you want to stop this, now's the time.
The left even thinks they're feds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all accuse each other of being cops. So when, like I said, people show up in front of the home of a Supreme Court justice openly breaking the law, and Jen Psaki says, we encourage this, you're asking them to arrest themselves.
It's like people are building the sand humps, dunes, and I'm saying, let's just start taking the sand and putting it in another area. We're not going to fix it tonight, but it's
so they
one
want
step at
it
time.
To
it's
happen.
Like these stories
Why
that Andy
would they
brought
stop
up.
It?
They is very vague. I'm not everyone in the federal government is monolithic.
No, I know Jen Psaki says we encourage this. That's Biden's DOJ.
Yep.
Why would Merrick Garland, appointed by Biden, go up against what their
administration? I'm not talking to Merrick Garland. I'm talking to the people working at the FBI. You guys.
And who do they take orders from to go out and do these things? It's the DOJ. It's Biden's appointees, and Jen Psaki clearly stated we encourage this.
I understand that you receive orders from your superior, but if it's a bad order, you have an obligation.
There's also enforcing orders they haven't been given. The point is, if whistleblowers are coming out and saying the FBI is purging conservatives, Jen Psaki says we encourage their behavior, Merrick Garland won't take action against them and was appointed by Biden, don't expect to ask the administration that is encouraging this to happen to enforce anything against it. It's like saying a dude going out, it's like, I'm going to go buy a pie. You should stop yourself from buying pie. He's going to be like, bro, I told you I want this.
I'm not expecting anything out of this. I'm just saying we got the machine in place to work on this stuff. So let's work on it.
Who? What do you mean?
We have an FBI. They investigate domestic crimes. That's what we do.
Do they?
I'm not. Yeah.
Cynicism is not going to get us out of this.
Let me try this again.
Yeah, but they're already
the
cynical
FBI,
and not doing it.
This whole
the FBI is Joe Biden's Department of Justice. Jen Psaki said that their administration is encouraging the protests.
The FBI.
Why would the FBI?
The FBI doesn't report to Joe Biden. The FBI reports to itself.
Sure, in a manner of speaking, but if whistleblowers are saying they've purged conservatives, Merrick Garland is the one who's in charge, why are they going to enforce against what they
I'm
want?
I'm not talking to Merrick Garland. I mean, Merrick, if you're listening, I'm talking
right,
to you too.
You're asking
to the
for like the last
Americans
few,
that are listening right now.
You said to the FBI.
Yeah, everybody that's there, everyone that has the opportunity to do something about this now we start moving now and we can fix our economy.
They're too busy trying to coax mentally ill people to do their work for them. A lot of people are, no, Ian.
I've said my piece, my friends. I love you.
All right, let's go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends, and head over to timcast.com. Become a member to support our work. You'll get access to exclusive segments of this show Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. There's a huge library of all of these members-only shows. Check them out. And we will read your Super Chats. We got a whole bunch. All right. Jeff Pearson says the government is the only entity that can create inflation. It is not a natural product of the market. It is purely a printing press issue. That's not true. Banks can create inflation if they're cheating. But, you know, like when the government engages in a Ponzi scheme, we just go, sure. Yeah. Right. All right. Let's see. We got Grofty says buck, buck, buck.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Rip Shoe on Egg.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear?
Oh, yeah. That was
Shoe
so
on
sad.
Egg passed.
I heard. Mm-hmm. No known next of kin.
No.
Wait, well, who I was wrong about that. Shoe on egg. Our chicken.
Old chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a chicken.
A chicken.
Sorry.
Named Shoe on Egg.
Mm-hmm. I misheard it, and I
yeah.
very dark.
Oh, no.
Shoe on egg.
So I was told by our chicken tender, Kim,
aww,
that the two adopted ones are really old,
yeah,
and probably not going to make it much longer. She did have a next of kin.
Oh.
A sister is a next of kin.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't realize, you know.
Too,
yeah. But no children. Mm. And so I'm wondering, though, I don't think they were laying eggs.
Okay.
So, and if that's the case, there's no.
Yeah, they stopped laying.
So shoe on egg was the end of the line, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sad. I wonder if we incubated any of their babies, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
They were laying eggs over a year ago, and they stopped. And they've been just not doing well. There was actually a third chicken that didn't make it because they were just not doing well.
It's unfortunate. They lived a good life. Died of old age.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It's a good life in Chicken City.
That's Did it become a meal?
No. No, I think we would have had to have moved faster.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Converting it into food.
Yeah.
I think you have to kill it yourself, really, to make it be...
Yes, be fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Make it be food. Mm.
But we have some gags in mind for the vlog. We'll see what happens. An orange sea lion says, has coffee brand coffee left you hyper? Well, Andy No will surely lead to another swatting that will leave you speechless by Michael Knowles, now available in paperback. That was good.
That was really
that
good.
Was, that was a good double super chat.
Andy Knows unmasking will lead to speechless. Yeah.
David Bach says, I drive a 99 Suburban and it costs nearly $200 to fill it up. It has a 42-gallon tank. Biden has to go or America is screwed. Mm. Come on, man. Just get a Tesla.
That's right.
It's only $54,000. Come on. You know, how hard is that really? You just work for a couple days and then I think these like...
You just send your son to Ukraine to make you a lot of money.
Exactly.
Buy yourself a Tesla.
Look, come you get on. Your kid in Ukraine for 1 month and you can buy yourself a couple.
Right. Yeah.
A couple Teslas. That's that easy, huh? Make sure you're sharing bank accounts, though. Otherwise, it's illegal because he's transferring money to you.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's but right. So is sharing bank account. Okay, never mind.
Yep.
Never mind.
Okay, what do we got? Adrian Contreras says, you're talking about the Fed and natural gas with Ian and Luke sitting there? Why do you hate us, Tim? Natural gas.
That's methane.
That's right.
Amongst other things, I think.
Pedro Henrique says, Tim, did you see Bolsonaro calling out Mark Ruffles on Twitter? The Hollywood establishment is going nuts with the idea of him being reelected. Well, there you go. Oh, hey, what's this? Rye Lyon says Phoenix Ammunition has been suspended from Twitter.
Yeah.
Free Phoenix!
That's right. Oh, I don't know why. He said he was eating dinner with his family, and then he came back and he's suspended permanently. So I have no clue what he...
Wow. Permanently? The permanent, that's a big one.
Yeah, that is.
It might have been the name of his account. He changed his name to, like, blow the lung out. Phoenix Ammunition, making fun of that Biden statement about getting the lung blown out.
Yeah,
and it looked like it was, like, telling people to do it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Grand Kai says 64% of U.S. electricity currently comes from natural gas. Most common way we get natural gas, it's a byproduct of drilling for oil.
Oh,
you can also get it from the bottom of trash heaps, produces natural methane.
Yeah, they cover the dumps and then capture all the methane gas. And
that's Staten Island.
Yeah. Yes, right.
There you go.
All right. Adrian Contreras says, what happens if 150 million people are trying to charge a freaking car at once? We can't even sustain running our air conditioning in CA without blowing out the power grid. That's right.
There's going to be a huge shortfall, apparently, this summer.
Mm. Of electricity?
Rolling brownouts?
Yeah, of electricity in California.
I'm really excited because we got our solar completed.
No, nicely done.
Yep.
Mm.
Tesla failed us.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going to do Tesla solar?
So we did Tesla. We have a couple different facilities. Our new facility that we're building, we've got solar getting set up. We tried Tesla. They vanished for a year. And
oh,
we
that's
just
not
went,
helpful.
No idea what's going on. They finally showed up and delivered all the equipment, and we're like, all right. And then they went, hey, wait a minute, this won't fit your building. And then we were like, what? And they're like, also, we got to shut off all your power to your studio for several hours.
Mm.
And then hope the electric company turns it back on. And I was like,
Maybe not.
You didn't tell us that was going to happen. This other company showed up right away, installed everything, and said, we got to wait for permitting. Permitting took a bit, to be fair. And they came and finished all the work, and I didn't even see them.
Free market.
Nicely done.
Yeah, smaller companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Tesla. Yo, Elon, what up?
It looks like he's working on Elon and Tesla are working on a new manganese battery cell.
Oh, interesting.
I've also heard them talking about graphene batteries.
Graphene batteries.
Mm. Yeah.
Jeff Pearson says, world inflation increases because of the central banks and printing of the U.S. dollar. Government creates inflation.
Yep. Inflation is theft.
That's
well,
right.
It's not the printing of money. It's the, what are we on now? Are we on an infinite reserve? They removed the reserve. Fractional reserves banking is how the money supply is expanded. Upon the issuance of debt, money is created in the system. So you buy a house, they just create the money, put it in your bank account. So no one's actually lending it. But they have to have a certain amount of money available in reserve. Someone told me that because of the pandemic, they removed the reserve cap. Now it's infinite. They can just issue.
Yeah, it is.
That's why the money supply is skyrocketing. If you look at the M1 money,
it's so difficult to tell. And I would doubt that they would ever come out on the news and be like, now banks can print as much money as they want out of nothing. Like, they're not going to tell anyone.
They're just going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Print, I think, is like the wrong word because it implies there's some kind of process by which the money is entering circulation. Like a machine makes it and then they like test it. They're literally just in the bank going like $1 million enter.
So weird.
And then it's like, boop, there it is.
So weird. Yeah. How does that, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's not a good situation.
Every time you spend money on a credit card, you're creating money.
Unicorn money.
Mm-hmm. That's fantasy money.
That is fantasy money.
That's right.
Wow. Take it away.
Yeah. Which indicates
either of you.
I told you so.
It kind of makes it sound like if it's invisible fake money, then if we get rid of it, it won't be that bad.
That's what it sounds like.
Right, but if that's the only money in your account and they just start decreasing your zeros, like then you're screwed.
One of my favorite bits ever was by the Rap News guys, and they did a Ron Paul rap, and then Ron Paul at the end is like wearing all these gold chains, and he's like, I'm Ron Paul and I approve this message. And then Paul gets big, and then a square appears around the AU in Paul, and it turns into the periodic element. That's genius.
Clever. That's cool, yeah.
Absolutely genius. AU in Paul for gold. Nice. Isn't that weird that Ron Paul, it's like the AU is right there? Yeah. It just worked out so perfectly.
It's not a coincidence.
All right. Raina says, Dr. Pamela Susan Fairchild at the University of Michigan is performing transition surgeries on young children. Do that information as you will. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wait, who was it? Tell me that again.
Pamela Susan Fairchild.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Is that a prominent person or something?
I don't know. I'm going to find out, though.
Let's find out.
Helmsway says, I ate some of the keto cake Sour Patch Lids made today. Life is better for the moment.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. We had fun making keto angel food cake. I also made keto hummingbird cake. I don't think that one was as good, but people seemed to enjoy it. So thanks, Brian.
Salt of the Street says, love everything y'all do. We here at Salt of the Streets podcast are trying to do our part too. Tomorrow at noon, we'll be live on YouTube talking about many of the same issues covered tonight. Hope to see you there. Very nice. Thank you for the super chat.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we at? Rodolfo Ramirez says, leftists see the individual, conservatives see the statistics.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
No Saint says Jeremy did get swatted again, but Coffee Brand Coffee has an amazing had amazing sales the last 2 days.
Weird.
Rikeda also is talking about getting swatted as well.
Yeah, I heard they both got swatted.
Yep.
Wow, man.
It's going around. It's catching.
H Music says Ruth sent us posted the school and daily schedule of Amy Coney Barrett after the would-be assassin at Kavanaugh's house, saying this is the time now that a wake-up call has been sent. I mean, they're literally calling for war.
Yeah.
They said, call to arms. They said, here's the address. It is stochastic terror outright.
And they say that that's what we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Everything they say we're doing is what they are doing.
Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is like, slow down there, Democrats.
Because he's a turtle.
I do think McConnell should get some credit for not letting Garland on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's like the one really good thing he did.
Thank goodness.
Harley Chuck says, Tim, go watch Wendover Productions' video on rising gas prices. Very enlightening. Also, you want people from the left who can back up their positions. Go watch some more news and Timba on Toast. Well, all right. Stronger Than Stone says, do you think government and state officials in red states and counties are in talks about the possibility of civil war, secession, and the supply shortages? I believe they are, yes. Because we've had for 4 years mainstream media from like The Guardian, The Atlantic, New York Mag talking about a civil war coming. There's no way that government officials have not been briefed on that.
And you got to keep in mind a lot of those companies you're naming off are owned by BlackRock. So the BlackRock would love to see a United States civil war. BlackRock. Multinational corporate conglomerate megacorp. They want us to go to war with ourselves so that it'll fall. This union is the strongest defense mechanism we have against corporate oligarchy.
White Paper Cat says, I hope you find the punks that keep swatting you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I know. It's like the government's incompetent here and can't do their job.
Crazy.
Kane the Fourth says, Fallout says war never changes. Metal Gear says war has changed. Might be the guns of the Patriots instead of proxy wars with current day media. Fallout's a great game, by the way. Oh, White Paper with another big super chat. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian says Republicans are the minority. They cannot hold hearings. There is nothing stopping anyone from the smallest state level to the highest federal level of holding their own hearing. There, I mean, they can have people come in and testify and do whatever they want. Like, nothing's coming from the January 6th hearings. It's not like they're bringing people in and actually having them do anything meaningful.
I heard their ratings were not good.
Bobcat, oh, really? Do we have the ratings numbers?
No, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Bobcat says, why aren't conservatives suing to disqualify Democrats who supported the BLM riots in 2020? BLM declared revolution against the U.S. Their supporters cannot hold office because the Democrats and the Republicans are the uniparty. Donald Trump got in, Bernie Sanders didn't. That's all that matters. And the Republicans are doing everything in their power to oust Donald Trump. You know what, though? I think things will change very, very much so when the boomers age out because they just won't let go. The boomers in politics, they are the uniparty. It's going to be very different.
Yeah, it seems like there's an economic calamity and they don't know what to do about it. They're just not there mentally, capacity-wise. So they're turning on each other to attempt to seem relevant. All those political persecution crap, but we have bigger fish to fry.
So Just the News says that comparable political events drew in far more people than the January 6th hearings, which is in no way surprising.
But there's no number.
There are numbers. Almost 20 million viewers tuned in for the hearing on Thursday night, according to The Hill. By contrast, President Biden's State of the Union address in March pulled in 38 million viewers in 2018. Then-President Donald Trump's first State of the Union attracted over 45 million for the New York Post.
I mean, 20 million is still a lot of people.
It's not nothing. Yeah. But still.
Yep.
Definitely not what they were hoping for.
Well, they got every major network to just give them
an
open mic night.
Except Fox, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So are they counting Fox in those numbers?
No, I don't think so.
Because Fox was probably like 3 million.
Not sure.
Tucker probably got 3 to 5 million. Postal Pacifist says January 6th was not an isolated incident. Look up January 6th, 2017. Protesters broke into the Capitol, albeit on a smaller scale, to protest the votes being counted and then candidate Trump. Really? That happened?
January 6th, 2017. Let me look that up.
Forest Viking says, Tim, a billboard of the carnage of 529 and a link or QR leading everyone to a page explaining what happened. Most billboards do not allow politics. Or anything related to politics. We actually had one billboard say, because our ad says politics in it, they were like, we don't want that.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, we have a book coming out, we have music, they're like, those are fine. They're like, but politics is, it opens the door. It has a lot to do with laws around politics. So there's concerns that they're like, we do not want to get involved in that FEC stuff because, you know, then they got to fill out paperwork and stuff like that. Others are just like, don't care, give me money. DeBronx says, it costs just as much or more to charge your Tesla as it does to fill up a tank of gas. Check the price of electricity. We have solar. Well, not here. We will, at the new facility, be able to charge off of the sky. Yeah.
That'd be great.
So is your solar connected to the grid? Because solar gets connected to the grid, and then you basically get a discount on the energy that you're buying from the grid.
Yeah, they do, but only if you're actually – so only if you use their energy. So usually what happens is you get credits. If during the day you're kicking back into the grid, then at night you'll get credit.
You'll just draw down.
You never really make money. You get a discount.
Right.
You know, so for the most part, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's now, like, you're supplying extra energy for the grid as well.
Yeah. Now, another thing is most solar has batteries in your house. So we maxed out. We were like, give us the most you possibly can. So during the day, you charge up the batteries to full. And then at night, they deplete. So we'll basically be off the grid.
Yeah, that's cool.
Big problem with grids is if, like, you know, giant city, huge city grid. If one area goes down, they shut down the entire grid.
That's why I was asking about it. Yeah. Because you don't want your stuff to get shut down.
You need your house to be able to detach.
That's huge.
And keep it rolling when the rest goes down.
All right. Austin DeWersk says, been a longtime supporter. If I wanted to sponsor the show to promote my podcast, Formula Fellas, on all major platforms, where would I go? Could be useful for other fans of the show who want to offer more support and help with expanding your app. So we have, there's actually, depending on where you listen, if you listen on YouTube, there's a different company. The on YouTube is where, if you go to like the about section, I think is where we have the email contact for the sales. I don't know the email for the podcast sales. I think they do direct sales completely on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do solicitation, but you can email Spin the UFO, I suppose.
You can, yeah.
Hunter Count says, Tim says this like the Republican Party aren't obviously controlled opposition. They're not controlled opposition. They are the uniparty. Yep. They are the establishment.
Yep.
That's it. There you go. It's like, I'm not going to...
They are one.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to be like, Antifa is secretly working with Antifa. I'm like, they are Antifa.
Right.
That's who they are. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Ian deserves a hard 20 tonight. Swat the like button. That's right. Yeah. Swat that like button.
Thank you, Raymond. And definitely click that like button.
Indeed.
All right. Matt Fantazzi says, Libby, Tim, you guys should get eyes on a story in Utah. Local DA is accused of ritual abuse of children. Oof. Watch interview on Quite Frankly yesterday with Zell Brothers, who have source inside investigation. Story is crazy.
I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
Do it.
Utah local DA, systematic abuse of children. Quite Frankly yesterday with Zell Brothers. Cold Slime says, you mentioned the apple pie law in Massachusetts. They still have a law that a flag bearer must be present 100 feet in front of an automobile in order not to scare the horses.
Wow. That's a great law.
That's very cool. Yeah.
And so why aren't people getting arrested?
Yeah, what the heck? Not enforced?
Yep.
Still there.
Police don't get to just choose. That's not fair.
That would be hysterical, though, if they just went out to every car like, yo, you're literally all arrested.
Times have changed,
all
everyone.
Of you, yeah. They could if they wanted to.
Right.
MLP says Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission. Justices rule 5-4. Supreme Court rules corporations are people. Wake up, people. That's right. Corporations are people, my friend. Yeah.
Citizens United is nuts.
Except they don't go to jail and they commit crimes and poison right. people and steal people's property and then rob people of their wealth and happiness.
And steal all the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's Nestle.
Weird. Poison mm-hmm. the food supply.
Well, Nestle who was so it? Bad. Some maybe it was one of the libertarian guys calling for the corporate death penalty.
Interesting.
Which is that when corporations commit egregious acts, they lose their they're dissolved.
Yeah,
they just dissolved.
You know that they would just the corporate entities that exist now would just use ESG as a reason to kill companies, and then they'd just go after Tesla.
Oh, they would use the corporate death penalty.
For their own means. Right. Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
if you don't want it used for ESG, don't put that in place.
David C. Kronk Sr. says, for shame, Tim, even the word innuendo is bottom friendly. Innuendo.
Kronk.
All right. Peanut Pirate says, Tim, implementing speed limits actually causes more wrecks. In the 90s, Montana didn't have a speed limit on the highway. And in 2000, they set limits. Car crashes went up considerably.
Interesting.
I remember the same thing for stop signs.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that stop signs increased the accidents because what happened was when there were no stop signs, everybody would cautiously approach the intersection. But when they put up stop signs, some people think, I'm going to blow the stop sign, but the other person won't.
Or right. you won't have a stop sign and they will, so you'll assume they're going to stop exactly. and you just won't even look.
Like Nancy don't Pelosi's stop. Husband, isn't that what he did?
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, he was drunk.
Yeah, but so also, but first he rammed his Porsche into a Jeep,
yeah.
oh, blowing really? A stop sign.
While and he was then, drunk?
Yeah, well, then later he got picked up on the DUI.
Hmm.
And I think they let him off.
Well, we should let him go.
I mean, wonder come why. On. Why would we leave him?
We cannot be a country. Could you imagine what the streets would be like if the nobles were being locked up?
I just don't know what would happen.
Mm-hmm. No.
They would send their shock troops.
We need gentlemen to be free to reign over the rabble.
Scholars.
We need them to be able to ram their That's Porsches right. into Jeeps.
That's right.
Well,
That's really
know,
important.
Democracy. Well, Libby, have you asked? Maybe the Jeep deserved it.
Oh, yeah. The Jeep always deserves it.
That's fair, yeah.
I bet the Jeep wasn't even damaged.
That gas
yeah, probably not.
All right, in all seriousness, don't drive drunk, man.
Please don't. Yeah.
yeah. People get like insanely confident, and that's the problem. But hey,
really? I do not get insanely confident if I have a lot to drink.
But people, yeah, they yeah. think like, "No, I'm fine. I can drive." And it's like, "Dude, you're drunk. You're wrong."
Give
like,
me
yeah,
your car
definitely
keys.
Wrong.
You cannot drive. Clayton Johnson says the big question for Ian is who owns State Street, BlackRock, and Vanguard?
That's what I asked Luke earlier. I mean, 13
each other.
People. Yeah, they own each other, which is yeah. weird when you start looking into it. And
it's
then,
an Ouroboros.
But I don't know the names, you know, and that's probably it's probably out there.
Yeah, sure it is.
Okay, what do we get? Scott Merrihew says, stop with all the democracy talk. The U.S. is a constitutional republic. Only representative from your district vote. You don't. You know, it's funny because I feel like people who don't watch the show regularly will say that all the time when we make that point way too often. Like, we talk about how we're not a democracy all the time. Mm-hmm. Then someone tunes in, like, for the first time or, like once in a while,
know?
And they're like,
Yeah, like when people, I think we've made probably like $100,000 and people telling us to watch Yuri Bezmenov. I'm not exaggerating that number. I'm willing to bet like $100,000 in people being like, watch the Yuri Bezmenov interview. And it's like, oh, another one. You got 12 of those per minute.
A dollar for every time. Jeez.
No, I think we get $5 every time.
That's great. It's perfect. That's nice. Yeah.
It's even better than the dollar.
Yeah. I need a fund for Yuri Bezmenov.
I think I'm supposed to watch that.
You should do that, Ian. Yeah.
Right. Your pal Jody says, as the founding father Patrick Henry once said, give me liberty or give me death.
Those dudes were
we will not obey. Do not tread on me. Vote in local elections. Run for local office. Yeah, wasn't it like 45 people are running in Alaska?
Really?
Wow. Some ridiculous number, because everybody's like, we are stepping up to the plate.
Good for them.
Yep. It's an uphill battle.
Cause chaos, yes.
But it can be won. And Marjorie Taylor Greene proves it. Lauren Boebert proves it. Thomas Massie proves it. Donald Trump proves it. Rand Paul.
Yeah. All
it
is possible. All of these overturning school boards as well. There's right. all yes. these school boards where conservatives are Chase being elected losing. In.
Yeah. All yeah. this stuff.
Recall efforts in San Francisco.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Chessa. Was it, is it Boudin? How do you pronounce it?
Boudin.
Boudin. I was calling him Boudin.
Who knows? I was calling him Cheesa.
Cheesa. Cheesy Boudin.
Cheese it.
We were talking Boudin. About that yesterday on Andy's podcast. It's so fascinating that he got taken out.
Yeah, you know who really loved him was those white progressives and everybody else.
They sure like, did. No, they sure loved
don't
him.
Don't like that.
Daniel Trunka says, any chance next time you guys get swatted, you can make a quick transition to the RV you used in Tennessee
Ooh.
Rather than drop the show, keep it the great work.
Mm.
I don't think you can because...
How do we transfer the show over
we
there?
We would need like a remote camera set up, like a remote rig connecting already to this one or something.
I bet Andy
it's
could
possible.
Do it.
Maybe we'll build something similar, like something like that for the next studio. I don't think the new location is going to have any problems ever.
Never. None. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not.
None.
Yeah.
West Virginia is a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. West Virginia. That's right. You told me about West Virginia. It is a different story.
Very, very different story.
Yeah. It's a good All right. Place.
Adam Cloud says, reread The Giver recently, and I'm pretty sure the pills they gave the 12s were puberty blockers. Children belong to society, and you apply to receive a child from the state.
Jeez. Hmm.
Interesting.
That's messed up.
All right. YouTube jump.
Classic YouTube.
Yep. Once we get to the bottom. All right, what's this? Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Ian, you hear about Ford using graphene in new trucks?
Yeah, I was just reading about that. I think there's actually a TimCast.com article about it from Adrian Norman. They're working with Rice University, and they're like... They're breaking back. I think what they're doing is they're using lasers to break back down materials of old failing trucks. And then they're putting the graphene that's created from the laser, which is called flashing the carbon. And they're putting it back into the new materials to make them lighter and more sound resistant.
Wow. Let's see. Cinero says they announced the suspension of the 10% reserve requirement on the Fed website in 2020.
Wow. Tell me that again.
They suspended the 10% reserve requirement. It was on the Fed's website in 2020.
Well, there it is. Now there's infinite reserve lending, if that's
that,
true.
If
suspended until further.
Just Google it real quick, because that basically means the country ended on that day.
Mm. Yeah.
People don't realize that's them pulling the plug out of the middle of the ocean and all of the water being flushed out. Because if they can just give out infinite money with no restraint, this is why you're seeing inflation skyrocket rapidly and why it won't stop. And the economy is going to implode completely.
Yeah, this is what led to the 2008 housing market crisis.
Well, they saw the reserve requirement. This is different.
Well, yeah, of course.
This is not easy to find at first glance. Banks are no longer required to hold reserves. This is from April 2020 from libertarianinvestments.com. Mm-hmm.
If that's true, man.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
Yep. Press release from the federalreserve.gov. Federal Reserve actions to support the flow of credit to households and businesses. This is March of 2020.
All right. Well, we'll just get this one more right here. Corgi says, Tim, are you guys hiring right now? My friend at the Washington Post just lost her job. She's wicked smart. Just don't make jokes around her. She's bipolar.
What was great was Felicia Sanmez in going totally crazy for a couple of days proved that the joke was kind of right.
Really? Yeah, she really did prove it.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, I don't think she's going to be getting a job anytime soon.
Not from us.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't stop. They were asked, like, please stop. They even posted something saying, like, as part of the policy, you know, here's what's funny. So for those that don't know, this Washington Post reporter, like, lost it on Twitter. was yelling at all, like, because some dude made it, like, retweeted a joke.
It was even kind of funny.
It's a great joke.
The joke was, the joke he retweeted was, every woman is bi, you just need to find out if it's polar or sexual.
And you do. That's true.
And so she complained, he got suspended, David Weigel. She kept going on complaining.
He apologized and got suspended. Yeah.
Yeah. She kept going on and complaining about the work environment. And then the Washington Post published, we have new policies. If you do these things, you cannot do these things. And it basically said attacking your colleagues on social media. And then she kept doing it, and then they fired her. It was clear they created that policy for her.
Mm-hmm. And then she broke it.
And then she broke it, and they were like, they wanted to fire her. They needed a way to fire her cleanly. So they made the policy. She broke it. They fired her. Who in their right mind would hire her ever again?
Maybe she'll get a Substack.
Yeah, she'll get a Substack, or she'll go to, like, Jezebel or something.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
All right, everyone. If you haven't already, smash the like button. Subscribe to this channel. Share the show. That is the most powerful thing you can do. If every single person who watched just posted it on social media, we would be the biggest show in the world overnight. That would be awesome. We really do appreciate your support. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL on Instagram, where we post clips. We got banned on TikTok. Boop. Whatever. You can follow me everywhere, Twitter and Instagram at TimCast. Andy, do you want to shout anything out?
Yeah. My Twitter handle is Mr. Andy NGO. I have a link tree. It's /ANDYNGO. It's just my name. Thank you, everyone.
I'm Libby Emmons. I'm at Libby Emmons on Twitter, and I'm up at the Post Millennial every day.
Sweet. And if you guys like the shirt that I'm wearing, you can get your own on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. I think it's important for people to speak up and raise their voice. Wearing a shirt is one very easy way to do that, and it's your small way of doing activism. I got a lot of different shirts all on thebestpoliticalshirts.com, and because you're there, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
I want to tell you guys a little story about the Federal Reserve requirements, because it looks like they may have gotten rid of any reserve requirement. This is from federalreserve.gov. It says here, reserve requirements. For many years, reserve requirements played a central role in the implementation of monetary policy by creating a stable demand for reserves. In January 2019, the FOMC announced its intention to implement monetary policy in an ample reserves regime. Reserve requirements do not play a significant role in this operating framework. Anyway, it's obfuscation, but here it comes. In light of the shift to an ample reserves regime, the board has reduced reserve requirement ratios to 0% effective on March 26. This is 2020, the beginning of the next reserve maintenance period. This action eliminates reserve requirements for thousands of depository institutions that will help to support lending to households and businesses.
That was pre-COVID. Yeah. That was right around the time the COVID stuff started happening.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they must have had no idea it was going to happen.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not going into conspiracies. Yeah. Hey, everyone, I don't know you, but if I did, I'd probably tell you I loved you to your face. So have a good night. I'm Ian Cross, and I'll catch you next week.
And I am Sarah Patchlids on Twitter and Minds.com. You can find all of my socials, all my writing, and my cat at sarahpatchlids.me.
Check out chickencitylive.com if you want to watch sleeping chickens right now. Do chicken stuff. We have too many chickens because they had a ton of babies, and then we grew the babies, and now we got way too many babies, but it's fun to watch. And, hang out over there, because there's a chat, and it's another live show with, but you know, it's chickens, and it's great. We'll see you all next time. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.